Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 10th day of February, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Wake Up. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, fellow Levites, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambeth. Callers are welcome at some point during the broadcast, and we do ask that you keep your comments and or questions as short as possible to allow others to participate. We also put out a reminder for proper decorum within the meeting, and we are in the question and answer mode, which means one at a time following Robert's Rules of Order. And if you've ever read them, sometimes they can become kind of convoluted. But in general, the Robert's Rules of Order do work. Having conducted many meetings over my career, it doesn't take much for a meeting just to turn into a basically shouting match, or one side trying to out-talk the other, etc. And that's the whole purpose of the chairman, to keep order in the meeting so that you can accomplish the agenda. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the agenda. So, again, a little background as to why we picked that mode. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and that's all together with no spaces, pastordan.net. And we have a lot of information there. A lot of things are going on. I do encourage folks to at least visit it once or twice a day. It pops up fairly quick. It's not very complicated, so it won't take you very long. That's where we host the scheduled call to let you know when an upcoming call is or a special broadcast. There's also a lot of links there now with news that's happening, health information, research into this identity message, which answers the tough questions, and many other pertinent things, as well as archives of our program. I was informed by one of our listeners that our last program had reached over 200 non-logged-in type listeners, which, to be honest with you, I wasn't even aware that that was possible. I thought every listener showed up on my screen. And apparently, there is an option to just simply listen without actually being logged into the call. And that number had reached over 200. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, of course, if you're an Alex Jones or a Rush Limbaugh or somebody of that with that many shekels in their pocket. But for this ministry, that's a lot of people, okay? And again, numbers aren't anything in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. Never have been, never will be. In fact, it is considered a sin for us to number our soldiers or number anything that we think makes us powerful. We're supposed to trust in the Father and do what is right, regardless of consequences, regardless of the numbers of people on our side or in our military, etc. Okay, so I thought that was kind of interesting. 200, obviously it doesn't take very long for 200 to turn into thousands, tens of thousands, possibly even millions. It really doesn't take much on the scale for that to be possible. And the reason I bring that up is I've noticed as we've sunken further and further into the abyss, which we're going to cover in Revelation chapter 18 here shortly, the number of talk shows on the alternative media side that are literally repeating the things that we talk about here on this program, almost word for word. So it tells me that the scripture that says that his word will not go out void, in other words, when the truth is spoken and when the scriptures are put into the ethers through our voices, Father said that will garner fruit. It will not go out and come back void. It will come back with gaining listeners, doers, changing the hearts of men. And that's what seems to be happening. And now, it's also in conjunction with the fact that America has now sunk to the newest low of lows with the condoning of the murdering of children. At the same time, these hypocrites are doing all these things for the good of children. We've got government intrusion called Child Protective Services, which is an oxymoron. Nothing could be further from the truth. But you see, that's the ruse, okay? Like I said last week, Janet Reno, the dyke kike, burned 17 children alive at Waco, Texas, to save the children. Do you see what I'm saying? At the same time, these same morons are saying we now have the right to kill a child right out of its mother's womb. The hypocrisy could never be greater than it is right now. Never. This is insane. And again, it reminds me of Pavlov's experiment with the dogs. Well, I know we've talked about it, so I won't go into the details, but, you know, Pavlov did the experiment, and I remember him talking about it in school, but they only talk about a portion, typically of the liars who manipulate us. They give you portions, like portions of Thomas Jefferson's writings, portions of Abraham Lincoln's writings, portions of George Washington, Benjamin Franklin. They never give you the juicy stuff that supports what we say. So they give you the two parts of the Pavlov experiment where a good stimulus was given, such as turning a light on, and then the dog was fed. And after a while, every time the light comes on, the dog would salivate, wag its tail, even if you didn't have food. So that's a conditioning. On the negative side, of course, is you come into the room and blew a whistle, let's say, and then you beat the dog, and after a while, you just come in the room blowing the whistle, and the dog is trembling in fear and trying to hide. It wasn't until many years later that I read a book about Pavlov's experiment that they talked about the third part. What happens when you come into the room and you blow the whistle and turn on the light? So the good and the negative are done simultaneously. What happens? The dog does not move. It is frozen in stark terror. That's the American people, and that's the white race in general. You are being bombarded through electronic toilet media on a daily basis with very positive and very negative stimuli, so that you're just like Pavlov's dog. Most white people just stand in their tracks. They don't know if to go left or right, up or down. They don't know what to do. That's exactly, the book of Revelation here in chapter 18 refers to it as being drunk. They're like drunkards. They're drunk on the wine and the whoredom of Babylon, mystery Babylon. Mystery doesn't mean that you can't figure it out. Mystery just means that it's somewhat hidden behind a facade. All right? Babylon, of course, comes from the Hebrew Babel, same as Tower of Babel or Babel. Same exact word, and it's confusion. What is the world today if it's not confusion? But it's not all confusion. It's a specific confusion caused by admixture. Now, what would be the admixture causing this great confusion that we have today? How about mixing God's law and man's law? They are incompatible, folks. They are oxymoronic. You can't have one or the other. They're completely opposed to each other. Man will always make law justifying rape. Now, even the murdering of children. Race mixing, homosexuality, transgenderism, you name it. Man will always go into the pit eventually and degrade to where he will put on paper that he's justified, where Yahweh's law, of course, is immutable. It does not change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise Yahweh. You see the difference, folks? We have an admixture today. We've got men in uniforms and men in fancy suits in the den of thieves, the district of criminals, telling us they have a right to generate new law, to create new law, and that we, as obedient serfs, are to obey that law, even if it's immoral, even if it's illogical, even if it's unconstitutional. They have the right to create new law. Or as the book of Genesis would say, Adam and Eve were told by Nakash the serpent, meaning a crafty, deceptive person, deceiver, not a snake, that they could be gods unto themselves. What's that mean? What is a god? Okay, think about that for a second. What is a god? Elohim God. What is that? It is someone who can create law. It is somebody you fear and revere, and it's because they create law. They are the ones that you answer to. That's who your God is, the person or entity or thing created that you owe your allegiance to, your reverence to, and your obedience to. That's why everybody in America, almost everybody in America, is an idolater. And practically every white race on earth. They are idolaters. They have created false little g gods called government, called bankers, called news media, called celebrities, called money. Any of those idols are what our people worship and reverence today. And seek after. Okay? They don't seek after the living God and his wisdom and his law. They seek after the earthly things, the fleshly things. They've created idols and they worship them. We are so far from Father Yahweh, it's unbelievable at this time. That's why the message today is simply, wake the hell up. Come out of your stupor. Interestingly enough, I watched the Hagman Report yesterday, and they had on Jamie Walden, a former Marine survivalist. He's been trained in all kinds of law enforcement and military survival type skills. He has a book called Omega Dynamics. I just ordered it. Very strong believer, but his premise of his talk with the Hagmans was that no matter how much preparation you make, it'll never be enough, and it will never be exactly what you need for the way this thing's going to come down. And he talked about a time he was dropped into some part of Haiti, and he was dropped in there with his gear, and he had been through all the special training now for survival, etc. And he even said, with all that training, I was unprepared for what I came up against to survive in that situation. And most people out here today, especially the keyboard warriors that we have today, you're completely ill-prepared for almost anything. So his main point was that as many things happen in our lives, they come from unexpected directions. They don't always happen the way you imagine them, is what he was trying to say. And the demise of America as we know it will not happen as you and I picture it on a day-to-day basis. And it is going to happen. You can't become this evil and this wicked and not fall apart. It's impossible. So this nation will splinter. It's already splintered down the middle. The last election, the last presidential election anyway, proved that. This country is completely divided. You have the communist left, the Marxists, socialist, Zionist, communists on the left, and you have everybody else on the other side. And a part of that group are, of course, the believers, but there are some that just don't like communism. They may not be believers. They may not owe their allegiance to our Heavenly Father and to our Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. So, but they're on the other side opposed to the Marxists. Our country is completely divided down the middle. Most of the Marxist power lies in the large population centers around the big cities. What does our Father tell us about the big cities? Come out of them. Come out of them. Big cities are not good. They become centers of all kinds of iniquity and derangement and profligation. You name it. The cities attract the worst. You know, I've had people try to tell me, I love going into the city. I said, what for? They're dirty. They're crowded. They're noisy. They're ugly. There's no green. It's all concrete and steel. Oh, but you can go to the music hall, or you can go to the mall, or you can go to a fine dining. I said, you can't do that outside the city. I said, I find cities abhorrent. Maybe that's because I gave my heart to the Father at the age of 12 years old. I don't know. And I read his word even younger than that and believed in him even for that, but made my commitment to him at 12. Maybe that's why he put it in my heart to just find cities abhorrent. And then later on, when I study this message, of course, it becomes obvious why the cities are bad. So they are the centers of Marxism in this country. And there were many people, patriots years ago that I read, predicted that there would become a division in this country between the city dwellers and the urbanites, the farmers and the small suburbs and villages, etc. The two of them are diametrically opposed. And that's exactly what we've got today. So now the left, the Zionists, communists, are ramping up their propaganda mills, just like they did to our Russian cousins 100 years ago, trying their damnedest to make the sheep think that they're in the majority, that we who love the Father and love justice and love our constitutional republic, we are the outliers. We are in the minority. Well, that's the same thing they did to our Russian cousins. In fact, the very word Bolshevik is Russian for majority, the majority people. And were the Bolsheviks the majority? Hell no. They constituted less than 2% of the Russian people, and they weren't even Russian, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn points out. We call it a Russian revolution because it happened in Russia, but it was not the Russian people who were rebelling against the Christian monarchy. It was the Jews, the Bolsheviks. And you can never satisfy them, folks. That's why I tell you, if you're going to lie in bed with the commies and you think it's going to come out well for you, let me know how that works out for you. I'll tell you how it worked out for those who were complicit with the Bolsheviks in Russia 100 years ago. Most of them ended up in gulags and or up against the wall and shot. Remember, the Jews hate everybody. It's in the Talmud. It's in the preaching of their rabbis. They don't hide it. They're just hoping you are too stupid to look it up, that you will keep your face in front of that flat screen, the image controlled by the beast. That's what image of the beast means, folks. Of is possessive. It's not a preposition. It's a possessive of, the image controlled by the beast. That's all your flat screens, your televisions, your cameras, your cell phones, your tablets, your computers, all those nice, pretty flat screens where they control what comes into your eyes and your mind. Remember, even the Bible talks about guard your eyes. Why? They're the windows of your soul, but it's also where much goes passing through into your very inner psyche, through the windows called your eyes. It's unbelievable. But the propaganda just never stops. Never stops. And we truly have sunk about as low as a people can go. It's just unbelievable. Now, in his book, there's a little blurb here, and I wanted to read about it. Again, this is Jamie Walden. You can see him on the Hagman Report YouTube channel. I think it was yesterday it was aired. It was actually a very good interview because he talks about preparations for what's coming. And you can feel it coming, by the way. There's a lot of articles just yesterday and today coming out about that. You can't reach this level of depravity and not have something happen. But anyway, he writes in here, "We are at war. It is a savage campaign being waged against the hearts, minds, and souls of mankind as laid out from Genesis to Revelation. And it is rapidly approaching its prophesied convergent zenith. Standing on the front lines amid the fray of battle are the redeemed sons and daughters in Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. As such, our true and better commander-in-chief, the Lord God Almighty Yahweh, has sounded the battle cry that a warrior class of Christians," ooh, interesting, weren't we just talking about that in the last broadcast? "Vigilantes of Christendom" by Richard Kelly Hoskins. "But a cry that a warrior class of Christians arise and confidently advance in the power of his Omega Dynamics, the powerful and effectual actions of the redeemed of Yahweh victoriously going forth in the end of the age," referencing Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And hallelujah. You know, we often talk about monarchy. And, you know, of course, I get the naysayers, like everything that's somewhat new or different. They don't think about it. They just start bellyaching about it. And the monarch used to have a title. He was not a dictator. He had a title. The title of the monarch was Defender of the Faith. So when a monarch was elected, and again, monarchs are elected, biblical monarchs. When a monarch was elected, it was the people saying, "We choose you to be our representatives to defend the faith." The primary objective of the monarch wasn't to run a body of bureaucrats to steal your property, steal your wealth, steal your intellectual property like the governments do today. The primary function of the monarch was to sit atop the nation and be the defender of the faith. The beast referred to in Scripture is government as we see it today. And when I read these verses, it'll be crystal clear. Governments are beasts, folks. They're not good. Nowhere in Scripture is the beast referred to in a kindly way. No different than the whore, which we know to be the false church amongst us. For instance, the Roman Catholic Church. And if you can't tell that organization is a great whore, well, you truly are dumber than a box of rocks. I wanted to find that verse in here that talked about, which is our basis for why we believe a monarchy is what he wants us to have. And I'm looking for it here quickly, and I cannot find it. It's basically the verse that was talking about that the people in rebellion, which is our people today, they're rebelling against logic, they're rebelling against our Father, they're just rebelling against everything. Anything that takes away from their pleasure factor, anything that takes away from their pursuit of satisfying of their flesh, whether it's entertainment, drugs, alcohol, sex, you name it, sports, movies, everything imaginable to entertain themselves, make themselves feel good. Okay, that's what our people are all about. I can't seem to find it here. Okay. Well, you could do a word search and find it. But it basically says, those in rebellion have many rulers, whereas the righteous have one, so to speak. That's paraphrasing it. And basically it's saying that when you become this rebellious, you're this sinful, you're going to have all kinds of people in authority over you. That wasn't Yahweh's intention. You were man and woman, free men upon the land, as he created you with all the rights that Yahweh endowed, life, liberty, and property. Forget that nonsensical pursuit of happiness. What the hell does that mean? If I get enjoyment out of cutting somebody's throat, so I have the right to that? Hell no. That is completely ridiculous. The original Constitution didn't have that. It said life, liberty, and property. If you think about it, those make perfect sense. The pursuit of happiness is nebulous and totally ridiculous. It's much like what they did to the Bible. They try to make it sound like a comic book with the false translations that have been produced so that nobody will read it. Whereas the true word, as it was written in the original languages, is full of meat for you. Sound judgment, sound wisdom. Do you see what I mean? So they always adulterate everything. And again, Revelation 18 is going to refer to this. They always mix, okay? Confusion caused by admixture. If you had everything given to you truthfully today, you wouldn't be confused. But you're dealing with lies and deceptions constantly. Constantly. It's no wonder there's so much anxiety today. Needed a little sip of my bulletproof coffee. It's got a little bit of everything in it. All for good health. By the way, it's amazing. Every day I learn more and more. And I'm not saying I learn all this stuff. People feed me information. But every day I'm learning more and more how beautiful life can be when you detach from Babylon. For instance, I've started leaving. I do have a cell phone, but I don't carry it anymore. In fact, I've gotten to where I keep it in the microwave oven since I don't use a microwave for anything else other than the clock on it. It's a beautiful Faraday cage. If you think about it, it's got shielding in it so the microwaves don't come out. Well, if microwaves can't come out from within, then the microwaves on the outside can't get in either. So the spying device doesn't work very well. So mostly the phone will sit in the microwave until such time I want to check for messages, just like the old landline phones back in the day. Okay? That's how we used to do it. You come home after work and you'd go to your voicemail recorder and see if anybody tried to call you. Before that, we didn't even have it. When I was a boy, there was no, if somebody wasn't home, we never knew if anybody tried to get us on our party line. Four families on one single telephone number. Can you imagine the confusion there? That's what I grew up with. So, you know, you people that are fixated on all this high-tech stuff and that you got to have all this with you, I was blessed to grow up on a farm out in the middle of nowhere with none of it. And like I said, we had four farms on one telephone number. So we had to learn how to be polite and share and not listen in on other people's conversations, because you literally could pick up the phone and hear what anybody was saying. You were on the honor system not to do that. To where today, within my lifetime now, we went from that where today, if somebody doesn't have that little black box, that little electronic toilet strapped to their hip, they feel like the world's going to end. That's how bad we've gotten. It's amazing. Simply amazing. We're going to go to Revelation 18. and read a little bit of it here as it pertains to what we're talking about. After these things, I saw another angel or messenger coming down out of the sky, having great authority. Well, what greater authority can you have than our Heavenly Father? The earth was illuminated with his glory. He cried with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great," not meaning great in a good way, "Babylon the Powerful. And she has become a habitation of demons," those possessed with demonic attributes, "a prison of every unclean spirit." If that isn't the United States of America, I don't know what is. "And a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations," now this also could say all the peoples, meaning all the races, "have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her sexual immorality," as in race mixing, transgenderism, homosexuality, all fornication, sexual immorality or fornication. "The kings of the earth committed sexual immorality with her." Now, kings here represents who? Government, rulers, potentates, prime ministers, presidents, cabinets, parliament, Congress. The rulers, the kings of the earth, committed these immoralities with her. "And the merchants," i.e. banksters, the merchant marines, the shopkeepers, the merchants of the earth grew rich from the abundance of her luxury. What are the luxuries? Luxuries mean there are things you don't really need. That's why it's called a luxury. You don't need it to live. And our people literally today are drunk. Phil, I'll get you just a second. "I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, that you have no participation in her sins.'" And what are sins? Violation of God's law is a sin. Okay, looking at a girly magazine is not a sin. Taking a hit on a joint is not a sin. Yahweh's laws are what we're talking about. "And that you do not receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to the sky," or heavens, "and Yahweh Elohim has remembered her iniquities." The next few verses talk about the fact that it says, "Repay her," talking about Mystery Babylon, "double as she has done." Is there retribution coming? Yeah. Are the wicked going to pay a price for what they've done? Sure as hell are. Like I said, wait and see. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. Okay. Clicked the wrong button. Phil, welcome to the program, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. I'm so glad to be on. It's been a while since I've called in, and I thought I'd come in and share and be a part of the program, so because you're a real blessing, and in this darkened time, you really do strengthen our people, and I appreciate that very much. So I just want you to know that.
Well, thank you, Phil.
Yeah, I you were talking about all this technology and stuff.
Yeah,
and I know I had sent you a couple videos regarding scrying mirrors, and people probably don't know what that is. And scrying mirrors have been around for thousands of years, and they are central to witchcraft. Okay, they're very important. And scrying mirrors are basically like an obsidian black screen, and they're black, and but when you look at them, you can see your reflection. Okay, and
mm-hmm.
they use these in witchcraft, and what they do is they try and conjure up literally demons and entities from another dimension, and the symbols that we use that are used in these. And in all this electronic stuff that we have, are exactly identical to the same symbols that are used in conjuring various types of demon entities. And the scrying mirror is exactly like what you have. It's what you have with your cell phone, with your flat screen TV. Okay, I mean, when I can pick up my cell phone and look at it, I can see myself, you know, shining back at me, you know. And this is what they're doing, and this is why you're seeing all this everything going, all this perversions and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming worse and worse. And like you said, staring into, you know, or looking at a girly magazine isn't a sin. Well, that's a magazine. That's a piece of paper, you know. And the problem is that our people are being so transfixed with all this stuff that they get off the, you know, electronically, you know, that they can't distinguish between reality and an image, you know, that's in virtual reality, which is, means it has nothing to do with the real world, and this is what's causing, you know, they're doing this to, you know, to pervert the transgender issue, you know, and altering the sexes and everything else, and they're utterly destroying everything having to do with Yahweh's creation, and we need to be aware of that. I wish I had lived on a farm like you. You know, I lived in Indiana with farm country, and I avoided all this technology. And my friends that are involved in it, like for instance, my brother is heavily involved in computers and all sort of technology. He cannot get over, you know, he just is obsessed with the damn Jews, and he defends them 24/7. But yet he says that the Christians in Europe, you know, who accused them of things, were framing them for not that they were, that the Jews are simply innocent, and he stares into his computers all the time. And my friends that are into that, if I want to talk about anything of substance, they don't have anything to do with that. But if I don't know anything specific about some little technological gizmo or something, because I don't care, they think I'm an idiot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they love to make fun. But, see, that's the beautiful thing. It's just like we were talking about health and the food laws, okay? Is it easy to follow the food laws and the good eating practices of the naturopaths? No, it's not always fun. And you know, there are a lot of things that you walk away from that you used to partake of frequently. But if you do it, it's just like the scripture says, if you put the word into effect in your life, then the blessings come. You don't get the blessings first. And then Father says, well, now that I've made you whole and gave you all these good things, now I want you to study the word. And no. It takes the faith first and putting it into practice. And what I'm finding out is even as you walk away from something as simple as the phone, now, for me, it's not hard because, again, I grew up with none of this technology when I was a small boy. None of it existed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, for me, it's just going back to my roots. So, it's not hard. It really isn't. Putting the phone in the microwave actually was an act of rebellion for me against the system. And knowing that, okay, you can do all these things with the phone, but it doesn't work if I'm not carrying it. It doesn't work if I don't use it. And so throwing it into the microwave was symbolic of saying, okay, I know what you can do. Do I need to make a call once in a while? Yeah. And do I need a message if there's something wrong with somebody in the family or a brother? For instance, I got one message, a brother needs some fellowship time and talking. Okay, those are great things, but I don't need it on my hip 24/7 to do that. So I'm not saying to necessarily bust them up and break them up. That day may come. We're not quite there yet, I don't believe. But we can certainly help free ourselves from it and making it easy for our enemy to propagandize us and to track everything we say and do. There are ways you can foil it. And there's a peace and a closeness to the Father, to nature, to yourself, to your neighbor, that comes when you walk away from all this artificial crap. There really is.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, you know the thing. You know, the funny thing is, you know, is that what people don't don't what this these people that understand what's really going on, when they twist everything around, you know, they talk about like the all-seeing eye, okay, and so that's the devil, okay. Well, the all-seeing eye used to be God. Now it's Google, okay, and
right,
and the all-seeing eye, God cares about what you obey. They care about God worries about obedience. The devil doesn't care about obedience. The devil wants wants you to do everything but obey, and so what they do is they turn that eye into the devil, okay, because he's trying to get you to not obey. Do everything that's against God's law because he thinks, okay, because that's what the devil wants. See, and so the devil's been is the most high in the system, and not the Father.
Yeah, they hijack everything, just like the signs of the zodiac used to be the signs of the 12 tribes, and they hijacked it and turned it into this what do they call it, astrology or whatever today.
Yeah.
Okay, so they hijack everything. The Jews hijacked, supposedly hijacked Hebrew, and says it's their language, when in reality they speak Yiddish. They don't speak Hebrew, and the alphabet that they came up called Block Hebrew is not Hebrew at all. Paleo Hebrew doesn't even come close to Block Hebrew. So everything is a fake and a fraud today. It has a semblance of the truth. But when you dig into the details, you find out it's a fake and a fraud, just like the Jews claiming to be the Israelites. No, they're not. But here again, you know, people say, well, Dan, you're just anti-Jewish. No, I've read their own writings. Rabbi Stephen Weiss said to call a Jew an Israelite or an ancient Israelite a Jew is a mistake. Well, that's their own saying. Their own rabbis are saying that, okay? But when we point it out, somehow we're the haters. You know, and all this other blathering propaganda, when all you're doing is repeating their own words and their own writings, the Jewish Encyclopedia or the Almanac. I mean, these are where these things come from, or even in Scripture, when Christ condemned them to hell. All right, well, Jesus is a Jew. No, sorry, but he's not. Okay, it wouldn't make any sense for him to condemn the Jews to hell when he himself was a Jew. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. Okay, he condemned them to hell because of their actions. You know, he said, you're not of me. If you were of me, you would hear my voice and love me, but you're not of me. You're not of my people, you're not of my DNA, and you sure as hell are not of my software. Okay, you are aliens, complete and utter aliens to everything that's about me. But all they had to do was convince the church world that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus were Jews, and they had it made from that point on. All they had to do was put enough money in the seminaries and bribe enough of these prostitute preachers to push that lie. That's all they had to have, is one generation of pushing the lie that Christ was a Jew, and they got a free ticket from that point on.
Yeah.
Here again, our people suffer from a lack of knowledge. They suffer from a lack of truth. And why? Because they've stopped seeking the truth. The truth no longer matters to the average white man. Okay? We're dying out. We have genocide being pushed on the white race, and most of the white race is completely oblivious to it, Phil.
Oh, I know. I know. It drives me nuts. I was over at a friend's house, or actually his apartment, okay? And this guy is... he's my charity case. His name's Scott, and he lives alone, you know, and he works for his telemarketing company, you know, and I go over there, okay, to his crappy apartment, you know, because he can barely get by, and he's got to have a hernia operation, and he's got so many bills he's got to pay, and these medical bills, and we go over there, you know, and he's so out of it. And like, I go over there, and 5 minutes later, Dan, there's a raid, a police raid on these black guys across his apartment complex. And Scott is he's like, what is up with all these blacks taking our women? You know, and I'm trying to explain that to him. And they had this raid, and they busted into this place with these black guys, You know, they had seven cops, well, six of them, and one of them was a girl, and they had a dog, and they had like eight cars around there and stuff, and it's all, and I've seen those blacks there, you know, they're just crackheads or what, you know, who knows what the hell else they're doing. Obviously, they know something's going on, you know, and we left, okay. And, you know, and we went, and I helped him. He doesn't have a car or anything, so I helped him do some shopping and stuff like that. And we were talking, and he knows all these TV star names of all these stupid sitcoms that he sits there and watches all day because it's like his companion, because he has OCD and nobody likes him. But he knows the names of these stupid actors. He doesn't even know what the European Union is. This is how utterly out of it this guy is, you know. So, you know. Yeah. Okay, that's pretty bad.
God. Yes. You know, again, one of the number one reasons for the state of our nations is the church, the so-called church, anyway, pretending to be the voice of the Father through the pulpits. When in fact they're not, because if they were teaching the truth, they would not be involved in feminism, homosexuality, transgenderism, and all this other bullcrap. And they would tell the truth, as the Founding Fathers said. You mm-hmm. pick your government people, your leaders within the government, you pick them from the best of your men. Okay? Simple, all right? How hard is that to follow? You pick your leaders from the best of your men. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then they said, and the way you pick them is by election, which means you cast a ballot, which means that only electors can cast ballots. And to be an elector means you have qualifications. Just like your leaders, the electors are supposed to come from the better elements of your society. Free white men of the faith, same race, same culture, same language, same heritage, etc., etc., etc. That's how you become a great nation as America started out. We've digressed completely from that to where the men that fit that description have come and been completely disenfranchised in this government. A good case in point is within the last couple days when Whitaker, the acting attorney general, was basically excoriated by the black hag from Texas, Sheila Jackson Lee, pedophile, by the way. Okay? Sheila Jackson Lee is talking down to this Aryan warrior sitting in the chair. Okay? That is an abomination. That is a blasphemy that this degenerate hag, who completely is doesn't fit any of the qualifications that our Founding Fathers set up, is sitting there talking down to an Aryan warrior such as the acting attorney general. It's ridiculous. It's just totally ridiculous. And we wonder why things are so upside down. It's really not hard to figure out. You've got simple rules. That's what the Bible's all about. Very simple rules. And it says, if you follow them, you are saved. It's not talking about a feel-good thing where, I'm in the spirit now, and I'm going into the heavens, and, I'm good to go. I can go out and do pretty much anything because I've got a get-out-of-jail-free card. That's not what it's talking about. Mm-hmm. Soter in the Greek language, soter is salvation from physical harm, meaning bad joints, irritable bowel syndrome, colitis, bad vision, okay, other dietary problems, arthritis, etc. That's what it's talking about. Wars, gangs. Those are the kind of things that you have salvation from when you follow the rules. It's not mm-hmm. talking about eternity. It's not talking about whether you get to go to heaven or not. I mean, that's the church world. They've got the so-called believers. They're not really believers. They're pseudo-believers. They got their heads so far in the outer space that they have no idea what's going on back in their own backyard. And that's the job of the Baal priest. Okay, so in essence, the modern day Protestant churches and the Roman Catholic priests are in effect Baal priests of biblical times. They're doing the same exact function as Jezebel's Baal priests. And personally, I hope the day of Kishon Brook comes. And for those Bible readers out there, you know what happened at Kishon's Brook to the Baal priests. I pray that someday the warriors of our men will rise up and take these Baal priests and do to them what our men did thousands of years ago to the Baal priests in the days of Ahab and Jezebel. Because they're leading the people into the slaughter. Okay, people say, well, that sounds cruel. Well, Phil, tell me if you agree or not, but which is more cruel? To take the evildoers that are setting people up for all kinds of misfortune and executing them, or allowing them to murder infants, dissect living people to get their organs, selling our children off to the highest bidder in Washington for sex slave trades, and then use them for sacrificial meals and to drink their blood. Which one's worse? Killing the wicked or allowing the wicked to do to our children, our family, our wives, our neighbors, what these assholes do? Which one's more wicked, Phil?
Yeah, allowing them to do this horrible demonic activity. That's
exactly
the thing. And when you said when you pointed out that being saved is not being going to heaven, it's being saved from all this evil. Okay, when they teach that being saved is you gotta get out of jail free card, what they're doing is that they want the world to crash and burn, and not take the responsibility of fixing it like they're supposed to, so they can be sucked up into the crapture and sit there above their clouds and play their harp, and they won't want to be in part of this world because it's so corrupt. And so they allow it to corrupt and be utterly corrupt, and they forfeit their responsibility. And this is why people are fleeing these churches. These churches are absolutely worthless. They're just glorified social clubs. That's all they are. And even that, I mean, it's absolutely terrible. I saw this car a couple of days ago in a parking lot. It had all these Indian, they had these little stupid little stickers. One of them says we were all immigrants once. We should let them all in. Another one said we are from the earth and we're going to go back to the earth. And another one said are we going to destroy the planet before Jesus comes back? And then it had a sticker. Of Calvary Chapel Church in the window, and Calvary Chapel, I used to attend, and it's a Zionist hag job. It's just an absolute piece of garbage. So,
wow, Jimmy. By the way, shout out to all the listeners via over there in Tampa with Bank versus UTV. But he's got something from Bay News 9. In the Tampa area, that at Universal Orlando, so that's Disney if I'm not mistaken, they now have a greeter that is a naked glitter farting troll is the person that greets guests coming into Universal Studios there in Orlando. Like I said,
oh my God,
I can't even I have to give Doug Hagman. Again, I don't agree with every guest that they bring on air, but Joe and Doug Hagman do a pretty professional job of conducting their interviews and all, and they usually stay very demure, very intelligent, and they have some damn good guests. Like I said, that Jamie Walden that they had on yesterday was a very good interview. But even Doug Hagman went on a tirade for about 2.5 minutes. about what the hell is going up that there isn't outrage in this country. Reminds me of Bill Bennett. Under the Reagan administration, Bill Bennett, I forget his job. I don't remember if it was Treasury or Health or what, but he was in the Reagan administration. But Bill Bennett wrote a book, The Death of Outrage. Of course, nobody ever talked about it much, but he wrote a whole book on the fact that this society has lost the ability to become outraged or have righteous indignation when evil is thrown in your face. I mean, we've been neutered, okay? Could it be the fluoride? Well, fluoride does have that effect. That's why they used it in the gulags of Russia. Fluoride was used to sedate the prisoners so they wouldn't try to escape. Does that make sense? Let's see. Communists have infiltrated the United States. Oh, and they pass laws through their Zionist connections in Washington to require fluoride. And then they paid off the other Zionists over at the CDC to say that fluoride actually helps prevent tooth decay. Well, that's a partial truth. Yeah, stannous fluoride on the very surface of the tooth might help with preventing cavities, but that's not where it stays. It goes right past your teeth into your stomach where it's a poison.
Yeah.
I mean, the criminality in this society today, within those that we thought we could trust, we're talking about government agencies like the CDC, the FDA, FCC, all of them are criminal elements. They're all run like the gangs out of Chicago. If you're a Zionist like Monsanto that's producing poisons called pharmaceuticals, you get a pass, okay? Yeah, your stuff is killing people and destroying bodies, but you know, from one Zionist to another, oy vey, it's okay. They're just cattle. What difference does it make? They're here for our use anyway, so go ahead and pass it. We're not going to do any safety tests or anything else. But if you, Phil, go up to the same CDC or FDA and say, hey, I've got a compilation here of herbs that will literally drive disease out of the body, you won't get the time of day from that group. In fact, quite the opposite. They'll send the goons in uniform to raid your laboratory, confiscate all your equipment and all your books, and charge you with some bogus thing like practicing medicine without a license. Oh, so healing of people now requires permission from the beast. It reminds me of when young... one of the founding fathers, who was it that was in Culpeper, Virginia, watching the preacher being flogged? Give me liberty or give me death. I'm having trouble. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I can't think. Patrick Henry. That's it. Patrick Henry. So Patrick Henry is in Culpeper, Virginia, for one of the meetings of the founding fathers, and he comes across a scene where a bunch of villagers are standing around as a preacher is tied to a pole and they are flogging him with a cat of nine tails that's got metal barbs woven into the lashes. So this is literally ripping the skin off this man's back. In fact, Patrick Henry, when he wrote of it, said he could see bone in the man's back. That's how bad and severe the punishment was. The next day, they didn't kill him that day. They just whipped him to smithereens. The very next day, they brought him out and did it all over again until he died. Okay? So guess what his punishment was for? Guess what the crime was that this poor preacher being flogged until he died? Guess what his crime was in colonial America?
I don't know.
Preaching without a license. Now, all you Bible thumpers and pew setters out there, you tell me how you could have the love of Christ in your heart and whip a man to death because he didn't get a license from the local bureaucrats? Do you see the mentality? That sort of sick and perverted mentality has eked its way back into our society. We're no longer a Christian constitutional republic. Thanks to the Zionist Marxists out there and their influence, as it, like a cancer, goes across the whole country. They hate Christ. Okay, well, they've ruined that. We're no longer Christian. They hate the Constitution because they want to use government to beat us up and take advantage of it, just like every other nation the Jew ever comes into. So they've destroyed that. They've turned the court system into a way to punish us and to hide criminality amongst their friends. They've shredded the Constitution, shredded our Christianity, and shredded our republic to where now the sheep go along baying out that we're a democracy. What the hell? I remember writing letters to the editor and letters to my congressman back in the 1980s, long before computers and email. You had to write out letters and put them in the mail, and that's what I did. I wrote letters to the editor and letters to congressmen because I was sick and tired of reading in the newspaper where some dumbass in Washington kept referring to us as a democracy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So we've had 3 to 4 decades of this kind of nonsense going on, but the sheep just don't care, Phil. The problem with the white man, the white race today, which are the founders of all civilizations and certainly the founder of the white Western European nations, including America and Canada, they don't care about the truth anymore. They don't care.
No.
They're literally drunk, as Revelation says. They are drunk on the luxuries of the whore of Babylon. They've traded their soul, their very soul, for a few moments of pleasure in virtual reality television or computer games or sexting or texting with their friends. You name it, whatever little entertainment comes across that black screen, they've traded their soul for that. That's what they love. Yeah. That's what they revere. That's what they give their time to, their money to. I mean, I got a niece and her husband. They're in their 30s. And I can't believe what they told me they just spent for new iPhones. I thought they were joking. They had to have the latest. So they went down, and unfortunately, they make good enough money they could afford them. I say unfortunately. They'd be better off without them. But they went down, and the amount of money they paid for these little black boxes to propagandize them was astronomical as far as I was concerned.
Was it 800, 1100, something like that?
Yeah, it was somewhere around 800, 900 apiece.
Apiece.
Okay. Okay, so you're talking $1,600 to $1,800 as a family for a damn phone to allow Big Brother to spy on you, listen in on you, gather information, see who your friends are, see what you're posting, you know, you name it. You name it. But they act as if that's what they have to have. Oh, we have to have this. No, you don't. I'm living proof that you don't have to have it. I grew up without it, and I'm still here long enough to tell people about it. Some of these kids probably couldn't, there was never a time that people didn't have phones. Never a time when there were no computers and the internet. They can't even think back 40, 50 years. It's like the young lady I met when I was working in Ohio in the 1980s. There was a girl working in document control in her 20s and got engaged in a conversation about history a little bit. She didn't know who Winston Churchill was.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know who Douglas MacArthur and General Patton was. She didn't even know when World War II was fought. She didn't even know when Vietnam was fought. And this is in 1980s, okay? That means that the Vietnam War had only been over for a little over 15 years. And she didn't even know anything about Vietnam, where it was, that we were in a war, that we had men die there. Didn't know a damn thing about it. But she graduated with a degree from high school. Okay? 12 years of education and didn't know a damn thing about a war that we participated in. Actually, it wasn't a declared war, a military action. That's all we do now. To kill people and to take control of other countries' resources and to murder white men, predominantly white men. So she had no clue. Only 15 years earlier, as to what that war was all about. So when you got into World War One and World War Two, she was completely lost. She couldn't even tell you what century it was in.
Mm-hmm.
She had no idea.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. No idea. It's like the lawyer, the female lawyer I got into a discussion with years ago. I said, by the way, you're a lawyer. How much training in the Constitution have you had? Should have been a lot, right? I think we covered it one semester during law school.
Mm-hmm.
I said, one semester? I said, that's
wow.
Supposed to be the law of the land. You should know it inside and out. Oh, no. We just covered how it came into existence and read through it and then moved on to case law.
Oh, yeah.
And we wonder why. We're violating all of the common sense principles
mm-hmm.
that the founding fathers and the scriptures teach, and even common sense teaches.
I took a constitutional history class with this lady professor at my college, and we didn't teach about anything about what you and I talk about regarding the Constitution. Their Constitution is all case law. It had nothing whatsoever to do with the why things were and how they were and how they came about and English common law and Magna Carta and all that other stuff. They didn't even touch that. It was all one case after another. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
that's why today, as far as I'm concerned, if you want a true education, you have to be self-taught, like most of the founding fathers were. They didn't go to a university and expect somebody else to teach them what mattered. They figured out for themselves what mattered. They figured out what philosophers to read, what languages to learn. What is it, Jefferson could speak 5-6 languages? Thomas Jefferson was one of the most brilliant men ever to walk the North American continent, okay? But he was self-taught. He figured out even in the scriptures, he figured out which ones were fakes and forgeries and which ones meant reality. So, thinking for yourself is a lost art in this world, especially amongst white men and women. They really don't even know how to engage their brains in almost any activity you want to talk about. They don't know how to do it. They have to go to some other site. That's why they carry that black screen of death on their hip, because they're going to go to it to get an answer, because they don't know. They've never taken the time to study. They don't read. Very few people read anymore. They let somebody else tell them because it's easier. Okay, our people are lazy, mentally lazy and physically lazy. And so they want this electronic toilet to tell them what the answer is, which is exactly what the Jew likes, because now they can go in there, bribe the software developers to changing definitions in history electronically, and these bumpkins are no wiser, okay? Just like I went to look for, years ago, I read the definitions of racist, and one of the definitions of racist in one of the old dictionaries I had said, somebody who supports and promotes his own kind. Okay, nothing negative about it at all. But I've looked at every electronic version, including the electronic version of an 1828 Webster's, and none of them have that definition now.
Wow, I'm not surprised.
Yep, and that's how they change it. Everything now says it's a negative term and has always been that way, when in the beginning the very word racist meant that you support your own kind, which makes sense. Why would you not support your own kind? That's biblical. It's also commonsensical and natural. Okay, but now if you go into an electronic dictionary, that's been scrubbed. That's been scrubbed. Just like they scrubbed the name Yahweh, the Father's name, out of the English translations of the Bible. And the English translations put in a misnomer called Jew, a word that didn't even exist until the middle 1700s. They stuck it in there as if it was in the original language, and no, it was not. There is no such word as Jew. Okay? It's a made-up word. Okay? It came into existence a couple hundred years ago. So you're going to tell me that our ancestors thousands of years ago called people Jews when that word is only a couple hundred years old? But our people can't even conceive of that kind of stuff. They can't think back 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, let alone 1,000 years.
No,
they can't. They have no imagination, for one thing. It takes an imagination, but an imagination grows if you exercise it, like any other faculty of your brain. Why is my imagination so good? Because I spent most of my time as a child outdoors on a farm, away from all sorts of electronics, nothing electronic. Mm-hmm. I was in the woods mm-hmm. with my buddies, and we were playing soldiers or adventurers or warriors or Vikings. So you had mm-hmm. to use your imagination, because you're in the woods. You don't have spears. You don't have long boats. You don't have shields. So you got to go in the woods and find stuff to make believe.
Oh, I used to do that with my friends all the time. There was a woods out right by my house, right along the Elkhart River, and we used to, and my best friends used to, you know, we used to have, you know, his dad was a carpenter and stuff. He made him like spectacular armor and all that kind of stuff, you know. And we'd march through the woods, you know. And I'll tell you, man, when he found out he was of German ancestry, he got himself an Iron Cross, and oh man, we were like, you know, we had a big log that was basically our Panzer tank, and we were heading off to Moscow. So, you know, you can't do that anymore because you might be a hater, you know, and everything. You can't defend your race. It's really pathetic. It's so sad, and it's horrible. So I'm not supposed to, you know, you and I are not supposed to be in this world as it is. We have to fix it to get it back to where our imaginations knew it had to go.
Well, it's getting ready to come apart at the seams. Everybody that knows anything, anybody with any kind of spiritual discernment at all knows mm-hmm. that we are on the precipice of it coming apart. Absolutely coming apart.
You know about the situation with BB&T, right, and the merger. I guess they BB&T merged with another bank, and what's happening is that the Fed wanted these tax, quote unquote, tax cuts, whatever you want to call them. They wanted to lessen the restrictions on bank takeovers, and BB&T has taken over another bank. I can't remember which one it is. They're trying to merge with them, and they're going to actually now they're going to be the fifth largest bank in America, and they are moving to the same city in Charlotte, North Carolina, as Bank of America, and they are concerned about this. About this horrible merger and stuff, because what they've done is they've lowered the requirements for having actual asset the mandatory assets. You know, we have fractional reserve banking, and so mm-hmm. they only have to have 70-80% of the assets on of the 100% that they had of the assets, and even that was fractional compared to the debt that they have. So now this will allow the bigger banks to this is going to become like a domino effect, and the bigger banks will swallow the smaller banks like a Pac-Man game, and it's going to become really, really bad. And I know there was talk about some ATM machines that people would not be able to get their money out. So
Wells Fargo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was about 3 or 4 days. The ATMs with Wells Fargo weren't working. In fact, my brother has a Wells Fargo account, and I was on the phone seeing if it affected him, and he said, "Yeah, I was in and couldn't do a damn thing with my account." He could pull it up, but he couldn't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. He was basically locked out. But hey, we've got another caller, Phil. So just hang on. I'm going to see what Henry's got to say, and I'll bring you back on. But it'll automatically take you off. Okay.
No problem.
Okay. Okay. Welcome to the program, Henry.
Hello, hello, Dan, and hi, Phil. How you doing?
Oh, great.
Jesus, so many damn things to talk about, huh? I mean, we could go on and talk about so much of the nonsense that's going on in this world, but I jotted down a few things this morning as you've been talking. First of all, I identify a lot with what you guys were just talking about. When you played as kids with the when I played as a kid, I'm just about the same age as you, Dan. I definitely recall myself and my older brother. He was almost 3 years older than me. We always played World War II. And my brother and I were always the Germans. I don't know why. Even at that young age, I don't know. I can't explain it, but I don't know. My brother and I were always the Germans. But anyway, just thought I'd mention that. But I've seen some very bizarre stuff lately. A little bit on television, which of course I don't watch much of, but I still on occasion watch Tucker Carlson. He tells a little bit of truth. He's got some restraints there, obviously, at Fox News, but he gets some decent stuff out of him. But recently, I think it was like late last week, just before his segment came on at 8, there's this blonde bitch at Fox. You know, those Barbie dolls they put up at Fox News.
Some of them are trannies.
What's that?
I said some of them are trannies.
Yeah, you're right. I think this one's name is Martha McCallum. I think like 50 or 60% of these females that Fox parades up there are former beauty pageant winners and so forth. But anyway, this bimbo McCallum, she has like three feminist women on her panel. And you're not going to believe what they were talking about. They were discussing what a great role model for Christianity that Justin Bieber is.
Justin Bieber is a tranny. He really is.
I was cringing.
Wow.
He's got tattoos all over his body. Oh, but you know what? He goes to the New York version of the New York Hillsong Church, so he's one of those. He's on fire, apparently. And he apparently abstained from sex before he was going to marry somebody, so he's a big role model now in their eyes. But I think that illustrates how far down we've gone when Justin Bieber is a role model for Christianity.
It just adds to the long list of abominations we've got going on today. It's unbelievable. Hey, guys, I've got Gary wants to join us, so when I bring him in, Henry, I'll have to re-click you, okay?
Okay.
And then I'd like to bring Mike. I can see Mike has joined us. I want to bring him in on the discussion as well. So if you get dropped off, I'll bring you right back on. Welcome to the program, Gary.
Yeah, Pastor, I heard you guys earlier talk about George Soros. And most people I've talked to, they don't even know who he is. And those that do know, I'm so tied up on this issue. Why is this guy still living or walking? We got a president who could send somebody out there and arrest this clown. They know what he does. You know, why isn't he under arrest?
Why aren't most of them under arrest? Why aren't these two governors and the other legislators that have said it's okay to murder a child, why aren't they under arrest? Okay, if you and I got on the air and promoted the death of a certain group of special people, and we know who they are, they would claim that we're guilty. In fact, Matt Hale was put in prison for just that very thing. The last 14 years he's been in prison in solitary confinement, and there was no crime, okay? Because the chosen people don't like him. A undercover agent that was paid said that he said something about that this judge needed to go away. They turned that into a death threat, and he's been 14 years in solitary confinement when not a single thing ever happened to anybody, okay? But these people have actually said, you can murder a child. Mm-hmm. Nothing's done. Okay?
Well,
that tells you who rules over Zionist. You know, everybody used to make fun of the term ZOG, Zionist-Occupied Government, as if it was tinfoil hats conspiracy theorists. Well, guys, I'm going to ask you, Who controls this damn nation if it isn't the Zionists? Okay? The Talmud lovers.
Well, Pastor, everybody says, well, this is a Christian nation. No, what you guys are missing here, it used to be a Christian nation. Now it's a Jewish nation. You want to see what it's like to be under Jewish law? Here we go. It's there. We're under Jewish law right now. They run the show. And they're showing that they're nothing but, I don't know, what's an emperor? You know, somebody that's a...
Caligula? Or Nero?
Tyrant?
Tyrant,
I mean, what they are is they just... Slavery is a very nice word to use in what they do. They torture you. They do all kinds of things. They tax the crap out of you. We're in slavery. We have to work. And when we do, we have to give it to them. And since how they take so much of our pay and all kinds of taxes, we have to now work two jobs to live underneath their slavery. And most
and
people...
And anything you buy with the pay, if you know the crumbs you get left with, they tax you on that upon purchasing it. And then if you buy yourself a home and you owe $1 in property tax and you don't pay it, they don't just take your home. They'll come and kill you. If you refuse, if you ever boarded yourself up in your home and tried to defend your property, they would kill you. So you're nothing but a tenant in common on your own land. That is the that is what happened with serfdom and fiefdom. The old tyrant lords would let you live on the land, and they would steal so much of what you produce from the land, they wouldn't let you hunt in the king's forest.
Well, I know if you go back and study Israel's history, you find out that what they did with the Israelites is they put them around, I think it was Assyria at the time, to protect Assyria because they were warriors, they were good. And what they did is they allowed them to have the land, but they had to farm it. And, well, today it's called pay taxes. But they used to say then you'd have to give a tribute. Well, these people didn't like that. So, of course, they escaped into the Caucasoid Mountains, then over into Europe, then over here. That's the simplicity of it. But they've always enslaved us. They've, and that's what they do now. They say, oh, we're not enslaving anybody. We're a free people. All we do is tax the crap out of you. If you want to eat, you got to pay tax. If you want to live in a house, you got to pay tax. And interest, which is illegal according to the Word of God. That's called usury. Shoot, you pay two times the amount that you bought the house for. I mean, your whole...
Three times.
Three times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the Constitution says the only thing that's legal money is gold and silver. Where's all the gold and silver? I don't see anybody using it.
The gold and silver was, from what I've done research on, is actually been in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. That's where it was transferred to.
But that's Dan made the point earlier. The law of the land is the Constitution. So if the only thing that's constitutional money is gold and silver, why are we using these Jew Federal Reserve notes that are nothing more but nothing more than an IOU?
It's nothing. It's so that they can transfer the wealth and because they can print the money.
Well, yeah.
Of course.
Dan, you made an excellent point earlier.
Than it did the Middle Ages. Pardon?
Dan, you made an excellent point earlier about where's the outrage? Where's the outrage? Do you know why I abandoned libertarianism?
No.
For this exact reason, that is a religion. It's a religion based upon, as long as somebody's economically productive, then they're okay by me. I don't care what anybody does in their bedroom. I don't care about whatever any of their other political philosophies are. That's satanic. That's a Judaic philosophy. And I was down in the heart of, the libertarian stronghold. I mean, I was in... at that Ludwig von Mises Institute. By the way, von Mises was a Jew. And he's held up as a god because all these people care about. They don't care what your race is. They don't care about your religion. They don't care. I mean, it's basically a gigantic think tank of Judaic and Talmudic philosophy on wealth. Just get around all the other sociopaths who only care about how much wealth you have and the best ways to generate it, and that must be the key to freedom. No, it's not. It's the worst trap in the world. If all you care about is money and how to generate it, and you end up caring so much about money and how to generate it, that's what Donald Trump is. That's how he got where he is today. He's in bed with all these people who think like that, and he's myopic in that he sees people who are smart and so-called successful, quote-unquote, and those are the people he puts around himself. Well, they're demons.
Right.
they may be smart, but they don't care about the things that make a civilization worthwhile. What about your people? What about your own people? What about doing things to protect your people? He doesn't care. I'm convinced of it. He does not care.
I don't think
I wonder, since how you came into this when you were talking about what they're all about, we have a guy here in San Diego. He's wealthy, and he's sort of young. And he's married, of course, to a young Mexican boy. And he's on a radio station, and everybody loves him because he's a conservative and tells you how to do this and that. What's our country going to when you take a homosexual and make him your hero? There's something wrong with that picture.
It's idolatry. Idolatry. In fact, Jimmy in Tampa just put something up here. He says, more sickness. St. Petersburg family enjoying their daughter's membership in the Cub Scouts. Okay? It doesn't say Cubette Scouts. It's Cub Scouts. It's supposed to be for boys, just like the Boy Scouts. Okay? We're insane. This country has gone completely batshit crazy insane. Sorry if I...
Can I get a word in here? When you talk about the insanity of this nation right now, I don't think you have to look any further than this character who just got elected in the Democratic Congress. I think her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yes.
Have you heard the absolute insanity nonsense coming out of her mouth regarding this green agenda? I think that's what she called it. I'm not sure what she called it. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's downright silly. She actually, think about this. She actually thinks we should construct rail systems across the mother freaking ocean.
And she says people shouldn't have to work if they don't want to.
Transportation altogether, and everything should go railways across the freaking ocean. You want to go to Europe? Get on a train. Can you imagine?
Henry.
Why are not people? Why are the people who are into? Why is she even given time? Why are even the so-called conservatives giving this woman exposure? It just gives her, for the dumb masses, it just gives her a certain level of credibility, which she doesn't deserve, instead of being mocked and ridiculed whenever she says something totally asinine that is beyond comprehension of any person with any sense whatsoever. And yet she's paraded.
Problem with civic nationalism. This is the problem with civic nationalism. All of these people vote. All they see is an Hispanic woman up there. She could say any gibberish, and they're going to vote for her. Mm-hmm. This is why civic nationalism is absolute garbage. We're never going to teach these people. We're never going to teach them what's right. This is why our nation should be white only, and whites that are, Dan, what is the definition of an elector, somebody who is allowed to vote? That should be the demographic of the people who are in charge. Those are the people who envisioned the civilization. They're the ones who put in all the work. They're the ones who did all the building and bleeding and fighting and dying and maintaining. And now all of a sudden, these people that had nothing to do with its creation or its maintenance, as a matter of fact, they're destroying it.
They're parasites.
Yeah, they're parasites. They're demanding their peace. Well, you have no skin in the game. Get out. It's not yours. And I'm telling I think it's a good thing that Donald Trump has betrayed us, and I'll tell you why. This is the wake-up call for, Dan, keep me honest here, all of the good white Christian people in this country who will say he was our last great white hope.
Right.
Now what do we do? Now it's going to come down, and I do not call for violence. The only solution is a peaceful separation. That's what the founders thought they were doing.
They thought they were leaving
a corrupt group of nation states, and moving to a place where they could never be touched. They didn't know what technology would be, but it wasn't ironclad enough. It wasn't airtight enough, what they built. The Constitution was a god that failed. Well, how about a better one? How about the law of God?
I don't think the Constitution failed. I think what the problem is you got a bunch of satanic individuals who crept in there. Pastor Dan, a lot of us call them Jews. And they crept in there, and the first thing they had to do was be acceptable. So what they did is they went into the churches, and then all of a sudden they're God's chosen people. And if anything out of his mouth comes out, it's gold. And the next thing you know, they own the TV stations, they own everything, and they have all the money. That's what Potiphar did with the Roman emperor at the time. He bought him off and went over and talked to, what the heck was his name? And they let the Edomites
John Hyrcanus.
Yes. So so John Hyrcanus, of course, the same guy come up and paid Hyrcanus off, and Hyrcanus said, okay, you can be an Israelite. Now Israelites, of course, were blue-eyed, blonde people. And then, but these guys here, they look like they do today. They were brown-skinned and what have you. But all you have to do is circumcise yourself, and you're going to become one of these. That's what's absolutely amazing about what money does. But
part of the Constitution, though, to your point, Henry, I agree with you, but a minor point, part of the Constitution was the associated immigration law.
It also says to their prosperity.
Yet the Constitution did fail. It failed because we allowed people who by law should never have been allowed to be Americans. We allowed them to be.
That's right.
Why the Constitution failed. Founding fathers warned against allowing Jews into the country, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's Benjamin Franklin.
There are certain Freemasonic elements within the Constitution, and one of those things is the freedom of religion. And it was intended that the freedom of religion was supposed to be within a framework of Christianity. But they corrupted it and made it universalism.
Right.
Yeah. Well.
The
only thing that's going to save us, I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to save us is to try a peaceful separation. I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but for other listeners that will hear this, what other creature on earth stops having its own young and sends all of the adult members of that species out to go work and slave and get resources and fight wars and so that they can take whatever it is that they've built and earned and created and protected and turn it over to strangers.
Give it away.
Who, what creature on earth would do that? Nobody, no one. I tell you, gentlemen, it's a very, very quick story. I went out last night with some friends to a nice establishment, and I met this nice lady who, beautiful, blonde-haired, gorgeous lady. She's about my age, and she teaches in one of the most just absolutely backward schools I've ever heard of. Think about this, gentlemen. All of your tax money that went to building this particular school where she teaches, first graders, she has to make them lunch. She has to make them breakfast. She has to clean up after them. She has these kids, because of their genetics, probably all average about 72 to 75 IQ. It is impossible to teach these children. They're all of sub-Saharan African descent. Doesn't mean we hate them. Doesn't mean we wish them harm. Doesn't mean that we don't want them to be prosperous or happy. Just how in the name of all that is good and right is mixing people with 70 IQs in a civilization with people who have, on the average, 100, 105 IQs, how is that going to turn out well? It's impossible. Yet this
totally
brilliant woman has been convinced if she just works a little harder, if she just tries a little bit harder, if she just puts in more hours. I said, you might as well be, and I don't mean this to hate on anyone, you might as well take a chimpanzee and put the school clothes on them and sit them in the seat. Look, you want the best case study in the world? Millions of years of African history. They can't do it. They haven't done it because they can't. So how is putting them here and feeding them cornflakes and then a tuna sandwich at lunchtime, how is that going to make everything okay? You're feeding people and causing people to be able to reproduce who hate us and are going to destroy all of this. And she looks at you wide-eyed like you're crazy. I said, look at Detroit. Look at Cleveland. Look at New York. The Chinese have a special word for us. It's called baizu. They say that we're crazy and we're suicidal for allowing people who are not our people into the country and then stealing resources that should be expended on our own and feeding people who hate us and brag about replacing us. They think we're insane, but hey, the most natural thing in the world is to help your own people and your own kind. Why don't we do it? Why is it evil when we do it?
You know, it's called racial idealism, the love of your own people. We're far beyond that point now, of course, but in the perfect world, in the last, obviously you pointed out there are some nations today that practice that. But the best example of it that I remember, the most ideal form of government that I've ever seen in my life is National Socialism of the 1930s Germany, placing the welfare and interests of your own white community ahead of the personal interests and desires of other races. That's how it needs to be done. That's how we've gone astray. And, it's pretty bad now. What are we down to, 60% in this country? I think what you said earlier about some kind of a separate state for the non-whites, it's probably the only solution at this point, just simply because of the demographics and the numbers that we have in this country right now, blacks and Hispanics and just non-whites.
Henry, they need to go back and read the book that was written back in 1995 by Thomas Chittum, C-H-I-T-T-U-M, Chittum. Thomas Chittum wrote a book called Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America. And considering he wrote it clear back in 1995, it was almost prophetic, because everything he said in there that he saw coming in the future, because he's a soldier, he was in three different active campaigns with the United States Army, he said everything that he assessed as a soldier for America coming up would lead to exactly what we're talking about right now. Eventually, the cities would be at war with the country folk, conservatives at war with the Marxists, and the country would divide along racial lines, and we would become Balkanized, much like in South or Europe, over there in Europe where the Balkans are. We would do the exact same thing as they did years ago, primarily along racial lines, because there is no solution, because we refuse to do what the Bible says. Now, you mentioned National Socialism. Chancellor Hitler was elected, but in function in Germany, tell me he didn't function as an elected monarch. In a lot of ways, he was.
Absolutely.
Okay, Germany's National Socialism was built on the same biblical premises of the Law of Moses, in that Chancellor Hitler was powerful, but he was elected. He could have been deposed if they didn't love him, if they didn't think he was doing the right things, but he got elected every time he ran, okay?
Yeah, and it wasn't 51-49 either, trust me. It was more like 90%.
Exactly.
They loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was working. What he was doing was for the good of his people. It works. That's why the Zionists hate it. They hated the Christian monarchies. Okay.
And it had to be destroyed because of that.
Well, but my point is, why is it white men and women today won't even discuss?
Because
of
the
brainwashing. They won't even discuss an elected biblical monarch.
They don't
even
want
talk
to be called a name. They're more afraid of being called a name than they are seeing the extinction of their own people.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah, it's just such a shame that the lies and propaganda and the whole thing, as soon as you say the word Hitler or Nazi Germany or National Socialist or even nationalism, It's just completely obliterated from history, and we can't even point to that great example that they proved in the 30s, which would shut down this Jewish system. But the minute you can't even bring it up to point out the good points of it, just the fact that they lost the war because all the Allied nations, you know, just overwhelmed them because the Jews organized that. But just think, if World War II hadn't actually taken place and the success of Germany, and they just lived on and there was no World War II, I mean, the whole world would have copied that.
The battle ended, the second 30 years war ended in 1945. The war's not over. The official government of Germany is actually still National Socialist. It's still the Third Reich. It actually never surrendered. And they're under American Jewish occupation, and they have all these front people doing it.
That's true.
And as you previously mentioned regarding being an independent, the reason why our race is committing suicide is because the white man was created to sacrifice himself for a greater cause. If you look at the death's head of the SS, that actually came from Frederick the Great, and that symbolized death to one's own self-interest, not to kill the innocent or anything like that, but to serve the race and the nation above all else. And because we live in a society where the individual is king, and it's only the individual's purpose that matters, and the white man finds himself on the outside looking in, and he has no purpose. He has no woman to follow. He has no family to build, and so he's divided, and he doesn't have anything to fight for. And this is why people.
Well,
this is
a great point, Phil. This
what?
Is an excellent point. This is what we see every night. If I go out to a business function, or take a woman out to dinner, what do you see and what do you hear? If you talk about any of these things, people say, well, I don't care. There's nothing I can do about it. I raised my kids already. I'm just out to have fun. There, that's a perfect distillation of that. Our people are spoiled. We've got all these electronic gadgets that Dan was referring to. We've got movies. We've got food in plenty. We've got all kinds of entertainment. We've got heat. We've got air conditioning. We've got new cars that they're practically giving away with all these deals. And what do they have? What do we really have? We have distractions, and we're miserable. Exactly. And we've built a civilization that we are going to turn over to animals that couldn't build one for themselves. And this has happened before. This has happened before. It happened in Aryan Persia. It happened in Punjabi India. It happened in Egypt. I mean, how many times do we have to see this? Where whites come in and build something. We see these megalithic structures built. We see these incredible civilizations built. And then the liberals come in. The parasites come in. Instead of sticking to be ye separate, we always fall for it. We always fall for it. We let the black in, we let the Asian in, and it collapses, and then we start all over again. It's not, there's no other place for us to go. I mean, there was a new world for us, for our ancestors to come to here. There's no other place to go now.
You know why all what you were just talking about, you know why that is allowed to continue to happen over and over in one nation after another? It's because these controllers who run the world, who sit back, and they control the narrative. History, I think it was Napoleon said this, history is a set of lies agreed upon. And what right. that means, we're never told the truth about anything. We're never told the truth about what actually transpired in the 1930s Germany, the miracle that occurred there, as just one example. And there's many, many more. But they sit back and they keep the truth of us from us by controlling all means of communication and media. They did it even when it was just newspapers, and now they're doing it through television and through the internet. And they always have, and they're also doing it. And Dan, you hop on this all the time. And one of the underrated methods that they use is through these phony, hypocrite preachers, Judeo-Christian preachers, whose job it is to get the truth to us despite the vast control they have over the mainstream media, et cetera. But until people are awakened to the truth of what has transpired in real history, we don't have much of a chance other than those of us like us, the small number of us, the remnant of us who are awake and know how important it is to look into these matters and find out what really has transpired in the history of this world. Unfortunately, the masses just take whatever they tell them, and yeah. they're lazy.
If we had real men and real believers in these whitewashed sepulchers, there would be hundreds, if not thousands, of preachers right now tied up to posts and being flogged for being blasphemers and false teachers. Because if that preacher can't get out from behind that damn pulpit and protest the legalization of child murder, then they are an impostor. Okay? Simple as that. They are an impostor. So they're not even going to call out child murder. So they're impotent. They have shown themselves to be what they are, imposters, false teachers. Okay? And that I don't know. You guys might have a point of view different than mine about where we're going. Nobody has the playbook laying in front of them, but I think it's pretty evident that we have reached a major, major tipping point. Even when, like I said, the Hagman Report, Robert David Steele, Kevin Shipp, both of them are CIA. Both of them came out within the last couple of days basically denouncing any person in this country that isn't completely outraged over what was just let out about what these two governors have done. And not only that, but these other states and the District of Columbia, like Colorado and I think Connecticut, where they already had laws on the books that said something similar, but it was kept quiet for some reason. But now the cat's out of the bag, and we now have, I think it's either 9, 10, or 11 states with these idiotic rules that you can kill a child, a fully developed child. How can somebody call themselves a believer or have any kind of moral interpretude and let that go? Okay?
But these are the same people. These are the same people who say that we should let we're mean for not letting strangers who hate us into our land. This doublespeak is unbelievable. It's supposed to be for the children when we let foreigners in and feed and clothe and house and educate and give them medical care. That's for the children. But our own children born on the land that their fathers died and bled for, you know, to keep and conquer, those children should be murdered.
Well, you know what's
its face, it's a lie. It's demonic. Why are these people not being dragged out in the street and hung?
Well, you know, as you mentioned this, I'm thinking when I go downtown San Diego, or any city, and there's lines of, you know, or El Cajon, there's these tents where you go walk down there and talk to them and look at, they're white people. They don't have any money. Oh, they're on drugs, you know, a lot of them. But then we spend tons of money to house, to feed, to give medical assistance, and money. They're not even of this country. They're not even of our people. And they're doing this.
It's an invasion. It's an invasion. It's a knowing, pre-planned, malicious invasion plan. That is the definition of treason. Giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Giving
scriptures.
Aid and comfort to the enemy is treason.
The scriptures tell you exactly what's going to happen, and it's happening. And everybody's shocked. Wait a minute, that's what it said is going to happen because you guys lose faith. You know, you only believe about Jesus for 20 years, and after that, you know,
right, but
I believe in TV.
Henry, hold on a second. Even if, and I know we're all of the same mind as far as our faith, but even the average just non-believer moron who walks down the street and sees their own kind suffering, this satanic witch of a mayor of the city of Seattle who said that she has 50,000 people who are homeless in her own city, and she's denouncing the voters of the city of Seattle who said that they would rather have their own people taken care of first before letting that place be a sanctuary city. On its face, these people are not fulfilling their oath of doing the will of the electorate. They're not. These people have committed treason. This is
why aren't
not,
they
it's
being
not,
hung?
They're not
on the gallows.
Here's part of the problem. Here's part of the problem, again, our own ignorance, okay? A lot of these people, including that Ocasio-Cortez, are Jews, okay? Ocasio is a mixed-bred Jew. She is living proof that the book Anthology of Racial Issues by Charles Weissman is 100% true, okay? She's insane. She has every attribute of a mixed-race mongrel, okay? So when you look at her, just think of that book, Anthology of Racial Issues, because she is living proof. So are the other half-breeds in Washington. But she is perfect truth of that, or proof of it. And when she says, and all of them push for all of these draconian measures, you have to understand that being Jewish, she knows about the Kol Nidre. She prays the prayer. In her religion, mm-hmm. it allows, in Talmudism, it allows for Jews to lie under oath. So when they take mm-hmm. the oath of office and say they swear to uphold the Constitution, they've got their fingers crossed, and they know that in their faith, that promise to obey means nothing. That's what the Kol Nidre means. A Jew is allowed to go out and pretend and swear an oath to anything when, in fact, they're not beholden to it. Okay?
Pastor, the only reason they can do this is because we, as Caucasians, they call us white people, but we're not, we're pink, allow them to do this. What should happen to a person like her? She doesn't even think about running for office because she knows she'll be hung. That's the problem. We got to enforce our Constitution, not them. They're not going to. They're going to try to destroy it. We have to enforce our Constitution. Now, how are we going to do that? I mentioned this at a Tea Party function yesterday, and the leader of the Tea Party function.
That's the Constitution. The Constitution. The Constitution's a piece of paper. Obey your God. Get rid of the people who are not your people. We're not going to be able to enforce that document. The Constitution is a piece of paper. It only holds for us.
As I was at that Tea Party and I was speaking, the leader of the Tea Party said, we were there and we were talking about Bundy, and what the heck was his name, Finnegan? That's mm-hmm. why Finnegan was killed, because they tried to enforce it. So we don't have an army that's as big as theirs. And he was killed by 3 Oregon police officers. Okay, so mm-hmm. this is the problem. So there is people out there that are trying it, but then you have a force that's a lot bigger than we are. You know, like this guy, he had his hands up in the air. We see this right there in the movies. And they shot him in the back.
What's that saying? Henry, I agree with you. Pulling out a piece of paper is not going to defeat these people. The mobster that comes to you and says, you're going to pay the protection money or I'm going to kill you and blow up your store, he knows it's against the law. He does it anyway because nobody stops him.
There is no law.
These people are. They are a criminal cartel. The Constitution is a piece
Jesus
of paper.
Jesus the Christ, as Pastor Dan has said many times, has set down the law. This is the law. And they violate
it
all the time.
We don't follow it. We let
now, I know
these strangers
they
in.
Don't.
Our, but we, Henry, stop. We let these strangers into our country, and then when they don't do what we want them to do, when we wave a piece of paper, we wonder why. Of course they're not going to. Because it's not in their interest of their race.
So how do we organize the warriors that are still left amongst our people and pick a damn leader, whoever that is, and get behind them and do what the book tells us to do? That's the only thing that's going to fix this problem. The system will never fix
exactly
it.
Right.
It's been completely corrupted. So the warriors have to figure out who their leader is and who their sub-commanders are and form an army, because we're at war for our very survival. Every white nation should understand that. This is for all the marbles, guys. It's for all the marbles. Wake the hell up.
Yeah, this cannot be fixed by conventional means or constitutionally. We've reached a point of no return. It's at the point where we have to separate by race, I think, actually, and someone has to emerge as our leader, and he has to be well vetted unfortunately, I think we have to have a lot of nasty things happen. It's the only way something as bad as this is ever going to get fixed. It's got to get worse before it gets better. But when I say get worse, I mean we need to take this to the streets.
You know, you don't like it. That's the problem. problem.
That's not the problem.
Well, so Dan, I think we talked about a former friend who can't even get these points across in his own home. Does
yeah.
not run his own home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yet that person raises their hand and says, "Oh, I want to be a leader of this organization." Well, I don't. To your point, I don't know who this person would be, but this is another fallacy that the Jew in Hollywood puts forward with these superhero movies and what have you, that, oh, a one will step forward. No, that's not what our founders did. Simple, plain people with a musket and the will to be free all rallied together. Did a leader crop up? Yes. But this idea that we all need to sit around and wait until there's some fancy constitutional convention or resist in every way you can.
The movement has to happen first by the people, and then there will be someone who could possibly and probably would emerge after that. But we're just sitting around.
All the warriors should right now know that the Father intends for this to go hot very soon. All right? My conviction is that we have that leader is already walking amongst us. The people just haven't been made aware of it. The attributes mm-hmm. they should be looking for is what we talked about. First of all, they have to be, as King David, they have to be both a able commander for military purposes, but also a civic leader with justice. So he's got to be a judge, he's got to be a beneficial ruler as a monarch, and he has to know military. So he has to have all those. He also has to be, at the top of his list of priorities, a defender of the faith. That's the whole purpose for being. He is mm-hmm. the embodiment of Christ on earth. It ain't the Pope. He is the Antichrist, for crying out loud. The monarch, his job is to do what Christ did with his disciples. Defend the faith. They carried swords, people. All you cucks out there that think you're, well, what would Jesus say? Or what would Jesus do? As if he was some kind of cuck hippie with long hair and sandals on, like you make him out to be. He was a warrior. The disciples carried swords. He admonished them to have a sword with them. He was not a cuck. He was a man, and he was a warrior. He didn't have to fight. He was God in the flesh. He could eliminate his enemies supernaturally. That's why there's nothing written about him picking up a sword. He didn't have to. But he told the disciples that they'd better have one because he wasn't going to be with them. He gave them an example. He gave us in other scriptures the example. Monarchies work. That's why the Jew hates them. That's why it's the number one thing on the protocols of the learned elders of Zion to destroy every Christian monarchy. When did the Christian monarchies die? Between World War I and World War II. Think about it. That's when they went in and destroyed the Christian monarchies and subverted by infiltrating the few that left to where they're just a facade. They're not real monarchies anymore because they're not our people. A monarch has to come from among you. He has to defend the faith and defend the race. That's paramount. If he can't do both of those, then he doesn't deserve to be the monarch. But if he does, every man capable of fighting should be ready to go to the streets because that's right around the corner. That's my prediction. It's right around the corner.
You want to pump this up too, Dan? Just from a strategic standpoint, who owns all the guns?
I don't
want war. I wish that the other peoples of the world who know, by the way, that they don't want separation from us. Didn't anybody ever think of that? when they watch all the news and all the propaganda and all the anti-white hatred that's allowed to go on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube, all the anti-white hatred that's allowed to happen there. Well, you could separate from us if you want. Why don't you? Because they know they could never, ever, 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 ever have the standard of living that they have right now if they did separate from us. So this is a dual plan of theirs to get rid of us, but also feed off of us until the last drop of blood is drank by them. So every from the Army War College down, every single scenario where the real right, not these neocon Jews like Crystal and Wolfowitz and the like, the real right, the silent majority who is just sitting there and has all realized like we have that Donald Trump is not the answer, they're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting. I'll be honest with you. We will never win another election again in this country.
No.
We'll never win another election again. And that's the best thing that could ever happen to us, because we have fallen for this idolatry of democracy. We've fallen for it. That if we can just teach enough people the right way to live, that they'll see who we are, they'll see what our position is supposed to be in the world, they'll see and they'll come along with us. Really? No, that's not going to happen. I want peaceful separation, but if there isn't, we're going to win that civil war, gentlemen. We are going to win that civil war. Our people have all the guns and all the will and all the brains and all the balls. You think these zombie movies were made for no reason? That's what those are depictions of. Not people who are walking around trying to eat our brains. People who, once this government, this Babylon falls and can't give out the government cheese anymore, they're going to come to take what we have. And it's going to be like a shooting gallery, gentlemen. We're going to win this.
Yeah.
We're going to win this civil war. It's going to be ugly, and it's not going to be pretty, and I wish that there could be peaceful separation, but Civil War II is coming, I'm telling you, and we will be the victors.
Yeah, excellent point. Mike is your name, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. You know, one thing about what you're saying, here in the U.S., unlike what's happening over in France and in Europe with the Yellow Vest movement, I think there's a big distinguishing difference between what is happening over there and what is about to happen over here. Over there, might I suggest that that movement might have been actually induced, possibly, because, well, first of all, the citizens of Europe, all the white countries in Europe, all the nations in Europe, they're all unarmed. And if they induce that kind of a movement in the people, an uprising like is going on right now, if it very possibly or probably is a by design in order to get them, you know, the New World Order to, you know, flex their muscle and, you know, take people in and fail them and so forth and so on and abuse their tyranny. But when it happens in this country, because of the big difference, and that is, you know what I'm talking about, the right to bear arms, which we still have, it's a different story completely.
Right. That's right. And they want this disarmed people in Europe. I mean, I have friends that live in Australia that say, oh my God, what did we do? Please, Americans, never, ever, ever give up your weapons. Please don't.
Yeah. Exactly.
These idiots in Australia, this isn't ancient history. They just did it, what, 2 decades ago? And they're like sheep for the slaughter now. They're completely defenseless. And look what they did to Brendan O'Connell.
Yep.
It's just, it's at the point where, how many times does this have to happen, people, before we wake up? To your point earlier, yes, the controllers don't want us to understand history, okay? Even if you were just born, let's say you came out of a coma and you woke up today and you saw the conditions today without understanding any of our ancient history. So let me get this straight. White people, our mothers and fathers, are going to work every day. They're having 50% or more of their wealth stolen from them just in taxes, let alone all the other fees and crap we have to pay. So that strangers who hate us can outbreed us in our own country. Giving away a civilization, the greatest civilization that has ever existed on the planet, to people who don't have toilet paper or clean running water, or don't even have a written language, some of these people in their own countries, who left to their own devices for hundreds of thousands of years, still live in mud huts.
Yeah.
That's who we're going to give our civilization away to? No. Even if you didn't understand history, today is right in your face. Stop giving away what your people have built to people who hate you and brag about replacing you because you don't have enough kids. And that they're going to make every state blue and outvote you to steal your property and make you an endangered species in your own country.
Yep.
You need history to understand that. All you need to do is know today to realize danger, danger, wake up.
Right. Purely demographic.
We got Jimmy with us too, guys, so just heads up to that.
Good morning, hey, gentlemen, and ditto to all the above, and I'll go to mute, but see, this is what we need to do, guys. We need to keep a level head. We're all smart men. We all have a lot of belief in not only Yahweh, but our fine country. And I sit here and listen to you all, and we have got to do something, or we're frankly all going to die, period. I mean, I'm saying that with a level, sober head, and I've said it for years and years and years. We cannot allow this marble to go any further down the track. And with that, I'm going to listen in, and I'm right here for comment, but I'll go to mute and not disrupt your momentum.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy. Yahweh bless, buddy.
2020. That's it. This has to happen before 2020, I say.
Well, we know what the enemy's planning, and we know that we were sidetracked with the whole Trump Q thing. But that's a good point about 2020. Remember the new head of the FCC when he came in, that Wheeler guy, and his speech that he gave when he was appointed. He stressed the fact that the New World Order wants this 5G thing up and running no later than 2020, and that if he has anything to do with it, it'll be much sooner than 2020. Okay? The very first question anybody with a brain in their head should ask, why are they in such a hurry for this 5G? Now, I'm not even going to go into the microwave theory that it could be a weapons system to microwave you. That takes a lot of power. I'm not convinced that that's what it's all about, but the 5G will give them extraordinary tracking capability and to force us into taking a mark, whether it's a chip or a tattoo, to allow them to monitor you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That we do know. There is no dispute about that. And
well, Dan, real quick to that end, TECO and Duke Energy, which are the two major power companies here in Florida, just put out an article last week because there is the old analog meter and then there is the drive-by meter, which is what they snuck on my property 5 or 6 years ago. But there's a big push now that all homes and businesses, pardon me, in the state of Florida, and I'm sure it's in other states, will be aggressively retrofitted with these new for our convenience, and we can track our power usage, and for our convenience, if we lose power, we don't have to call the power company. They are making a big aggressive move, and you know, this is kind of my wheelhouse, on the 5G networks and for the Internet of Things, your refrigerator, your dishwasher. And frankly, Dan, I don't know if it was from one of our calls or not, but I've been saying the microwave things for years to save the, I call it the black rectangle, from an EMP. But I didn't mean to interrupt you, Dan, but to your end, they are forcibly going to be retrofitting homes. Now, what people don't realize is you have the right to say no, but you're not only going to pay an extra surcharge, you're now on the radar as a combatant.
Right. Right. A resistor. And, you know, I wrote at the top of my paper here before the call today, and it's kind of interesting that you said what you said, because my furry first note that I wrote to myself was, the road to hell is paved with good intentions or convenience. You could say that either way. Paved with convenience or good intentions, but it's still the road to hell. And our
it's all for our convenience, Dan.
Exactly.
And real quick, that's been a joke in on some of my radio shows, you know, even with Barry the Music Man out there in Houston. It's all for your convenience. It's for your safety. Look at LifeLock. It's for your, you know, you can get a free search of the dark web to see if you've been compromised. You know, it's all just bullcrap. It's for your protection. Hey, come on, folks. I'm a big boy. And there are people that do need protection. Our women need our protection as men. I get all that. But you just nailed it, Dan. And anyone that accepts that, just like this Cortez whack job. Oh, and I found it funny that the one gentleman said we're going to build railroad tracks over the oceans. That's just egregious. But, yeah. It's for our protection.
Oh yeah, they always use the your convenience or your protection ruse when they're sticking a knife in your back. But you know, we need to walk away from it. My friend that helped lead me into the identity message many years ago, my buddy Larry, he said something that I kind of took offense to it when he first said it back in the 90s. But he said technology is not our friend. Now, I don't know if he came up with that himself or he read it, but in years since, that has always come to my mind that he said that. Because as technology has grown, our world has become much more sinister, much more intrusive. We have much more death, whether it's by doctors, iotropic, whether it's by these made-up wars. We are killing people now by the millions, when back in ancient times it was by the thousands. We now do it by the multiple millions, thanks to technology. And so at the same time, we go around with these la-la sayings that we believe in the sanctity of life, and we want everybody to have a good life and be prosperous. At the same time, they have no problems of bombing Iraq back to the Stone Age, no problems with bombing Syria to where almost no building is left standing. It's hypocrisy, exactly what the Founding Fathers and Christ himself said in Luke chapter 12. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy. There, he gave you the perfect way to figure out when you're being lied to and misled. And who are bigger hypocrites than Jews? No, people sit there and they go, well, I just don't know why all this is happening. Where does it say a child is not a child, but just a lump of matter? In the Talmud. People, the Founding Fathers understood the words of Christ, okay? He said you are to be ruled over by your own kind, meaning you're the same DNA and the same faith. And that's why. You've allowed strangers, and there is no stranger group of people than Jews. You've allowed utter strangers to not only walk among you and interbreed with you, but you've given them great wealth and political power. And their religion is an antithesis of what Christ taught.
Absolutely.
That's a form of insanity. I've been saying this since the 70s. Why are you white people allowing non-whites into government? They laughed at me. Dan, you're just a paranoid. You're paranoid. I said we're on a bad road, guys. Yeah, today, maybe not so bad, but we're on the path to self-destruction.
Dan, you're just a racist. That's what you are.
I'm sure.
Well, as long as I'm telling the truth, you can label me with anything you want to label me. I was raised in the country, and we had a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You can
I'm a self-admitted white Christian racist. And ladies and gentlemen, I just posted the article in there, and I put a little quote in there. Here's the "for our protection or for our convenience." The new smart meters could also help you save money, which is one of the worst lines in a commercial. Save money and cut back on your usage. How in the world is that meter going to help me in my daily life? And I run a cloud computer system in my office. You're going to help me by feathering back the amp hours I'm able to use? I mean, again, I didn't mean to interrupt again, but all these daggers are coming at us. And if you all read that article, you will see the pablum. Oh, this is great, honey. Look, they're going to help us save money. And if you go to the beginning of the article, the very top subcaption says, a new way to monitor your electric use is coming to the Bay Area, and it'll be connected directly to your home. All right, so you're going to put some nanny out there watching my power usage is what that sentence says. And I didn't mean to go back on that topic, but what next?
Oh, Jimmy, with the glasses from the movie They Live, I've got the sunglasses on now so I can see the aliens amongst us. Let me interpret what the Jew, and I'll guarantee that came from a Jew,
mm-hmm.
What the Jew meant by what he said. The new smart meters, first of all, smart, no, not really, but they call them that. The new smart meters could also help you save money. Here's how they could, because we're going to penalize you if you don't put the smart meter in. Okay, that's
right.
The part they left out. They're going to save you money because they are the very ones attaching the penalty if you don't accept the smart meter. So that's a lie. But they left that part out. So if that's how they'll save you money, because you won't be penalized when you don't get the smart meter. Now, and cut back on your usage. What they didn't tell you was, in the Internet of Things, a bunch of bureaucrats with shekels in their pocket are going to sit back and determine whether you, slave, are using too much energy or not. And if they determine that you're using too much energy, they are going to go to the computer and put in the algorithms what is going to be allowed, and they will be able to shut your power off or diminish the amount of current that you can draw to make sure you don't use more than they think that you need. That's what that's.
Well, see, and this is in our wheelhouses, Dan. You're an old power guy, and I'm an electrical engineer by degree, and you're exactly correct. If they throttle back. Remember in the old days there was the power savers, and I actually on the building when I bought it, I had them come take it off, and of course, this will save you money. I run a business, okay? I'm not going to leave every light in the building on, and I'm going to manage my own usage so that I don't pay you a bunch of money. But remember, they used to be able to throttle back your hot water heater. Which that's an oxymoron. Why would you heat hot water? Or throttle back when, your air conditioner. Well, we want to save money, so we're not going to let you run your air conditioner between the hours of 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. I don't need you, Nanny.
Right.
Anyway,
you're helping,
I know
you're
I kind of went
out,
off the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were
anyway,
helping out the
ahead.
Power
Tell
company
me.
When you signed up for that. Okay.
Well, I didn't sign up for it. When I bought the place in 2005, I noticed it was out there, and I had them come and disconnect it. And when, you know, when I tried to get the service order put in, they tried to talk me into why I needed to keep it. It was for my, like you said, for my benefit. I don't need you to tell me that I don't, you know where I'm going, and I know I'm getting on a rant here, but I don't need the nanny state. But if you folks really digest this article out of many that I read, and, you know, Dan, I got called a racist last week on one of my shows, and that I'm paranoid. I got the same thing. Oh, Jim, it's not as bad as you think. I call BS on that. But if you just take this one article and took what Dan just said and what I just said and look at it objectively as an intelligent human being, it is obvious that the sugar that they put on this article is not good news for us. And with that, sir, I yield.
Yeah. Michael,
well,
I think
Dan, I was just going to say, so 2 points. One, I'll tell you where they're going with this. China is the incubator for all this stuff. In 2012, I was in China, and I went and visited their smart cities complex. And not only are they doing all this with power, they have their homes set up. And this is the model for what they're going to do in these planned communities here in America now. And this is for your good, and this is for the good of the community and the state and the government. Every single thing that you put in a refrigerator in this smart homes model, everything you took out of the refrigerator, you had to first scan on one of these, you know, grocery store barcode scan things, or the refrigerator door wouldn't open. You would have to scan your badge to say who it was that was doing it, and then the product that you put in or took out of the refrigerator had to be scanned. So
my future ex-wife would be able to bust me if I went and stole a brownie at 2 in the morning.
So the government knows all of the supplies that you have in your refrigerator.
Unbelievable.
The control
but it's
center,
convenient because if I put the milk in there last week and I'm at the grocery store, I can just talk to my refrigerator and it's going to tell me that I need to buy milk. See, that's the bull crap convenience. And again, I didn't mean to interrupt again, but this is craziness. Crazy.
Second point, power. What law, Jimmy and Dan, what did they just pass? Or it's been on the book, supposedly. They're trying to prevent people who want to be off the grid from being allowed to be off the grid in Florida. So let me get this straight. The solar systems that they were pushing for so long because it's so great for the environment and it's so great for everybody. And, hey, you don't need to use power from the grid if you have your own solar system, right? Well, how come people who are trying to do that in remote areas of Florida are not allowed to? How come
they
must be on the grid? Well, because the government can't control it. If you're self-sufficient and get your own power from the sun, how dare these demonic control freaks tell me I'm not allowed to collect power from the sun?
Right.
Who are these people, and why are
demons.
They not dragged out in
they're
the
demons.
Streets?
Yeah, they're demons. They're absolute demons.
Who the hell
demons.
Are these same people to tell us that we're not allowed to put a barrel under a downspout next to our house and collect rainwater, or put
they
a corn
pond
in
they put
our
a guy
backyard?
Here. They put a guy right here, and I've got a pretty nice sized piece of land here, and he had about the same equal size piece of land, and he dug a water retention pond on his own land. And I'm zoned agricultural, and I can go do this, and they can kiss my rosy red. But they actually put the guy in jail because he wouldn't fill it back in, and that's no crap. That's maybe about a year ago, and I'll go dig that article up and send it to Pastor Dan so we can share it. But was that Mike or whoever?
Mike,
you said it. I don't, you know, I've got solar here, and I've got it in the back of the property, and it used to be, back when solar really got out, the law said that if I produce more electricity than I use from the grid, the power company had to buy it back from me. Well, of course, that's gone. But, yeah, I have to ask permission to go take a constitution in the morning at this point. And real quick, and hopefully before Dan it has to end the call, because I've got all day. I love it. This is a great forum. We can sit here, and it's good education for those that don't get it. We share these articles, and we share our geographic things that are going on in our communities. But at the end of the day, guys, and I don't expect an answer on this call, but I'm looking for legal, well, even I'm going to retract that statement. I'm looking for a way to either fix this or just herm it in and disappear. And those are the only two options that I personally have to sound selfish in survival. I can't stand this anymore. There's so many things that are egregiously wrong. And those that know me know I've had the radio show, much like Dan's, and I've had visits from law enforcement here on certain comments and discussions. And I don't mean to scare anybody away, because I'm not going away. But we got to be careful what we say, that it's not threatening. But I am not going to cower, because if we cower and don't hold these forums, and thank you, Dan, for your time and efforts in these things, we're done, gentlemen. We're done.
Well, somebody comes to your house and tries to tell you that you need to remove that rain barrel or you're going to get a fine, it needs to go out on all the media. It needs to go out everywhere. It needs to be, flyers need to be passed around. In other words, this is not a national movement. It needs to be small. If somebody comes to your house and says, hey, how come you don't have your solar system connected to the grid? You say, well, because I have the natural right to collect energy from the sun. And you,
well, I get
that's my
that,
right
sir,
as a human
but the
being.
Thing is,
hold
hey,
on,
I have
finish.
The right to say
Let me
everything.
Finish. Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
So when they resist, when you resist, and I'm not saying you punch the person in the nose. I'm just saying euphemistically, when you bloody the bully's nose, they'll go and bother somebody else, or they'll think twice at least about doing it to you next time. Not enough of our people stick together. When somebody used to have a problem at their farm, everybody used to come running and help them put out a fire or help them birth a calf or something. Now we live right on top of each other and don't help our own. It's shameful. When somebody comes to your home, you should be able, and demands that you give up your natural human right to do anything. You should contact your local sheriff and say, I want this person arrested the next time they come to my home. I want these people banished, this federal agency banished from the county. And if you don't do it, we'll put somebody in that spot who will. That's where, Dan, you always talk about the Shire Reeve. I think that's where it needs to happen.
They're doing the same strategy that they do with vaccines. They're saying that if you don't take the vaccine, you're somehow going to be a danger to society and bring all these diseases. But if the vaccine truly protected you, then there wouldn't be any need to fear anything. And they're doing the exact same thing with all the natural resources, whether it be sunlight, whether solar, whether it be water. It doesn't matter what it or the soil. It doesn't matter what it is.
And exactly right.
So they're taking the Jewish death squads, and they're telling you if you don't become one of us, you're a danger to the world, and it's this strategy works very, very well to the uninformed and people who don't care.
It's, hey Phil, did you see in the news last week that there was a bad batch of I think it was the flu vaccine, And it wasn't a bad batch from the big pharma. It was not refrigerated properly. It's not going to hurt you, but we need everybody to come back and get revaccined. Did you gentlemen see that?
Oh, my.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, we could go on and on. Anyway, I just, Phil, I thought I'd throw that in there. And by the way, Phil, nice to hear you again. We need to get back in touch since you and I are in the same jurisdiction and go have lunch.
Yeah, you feel free to call me. I'm currently unemployed and still working, still looking. So, but we'll bring you by the
data center here and let you wow. Because you know, Dan and others, I'm a technological person in my trade, and that's how I earn my money. But I too am sick of this. Very, 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 very sick of what my industry has gone to. And Dan, you're an outstanding nuclear power person, and I bet you're as upset as we are, because our technologies can be helpful in production of business matters and things. But the 5G, I'm absolutely against, and you know I've been in wireless. I own hold 3 patents in SMS from the 80s, and it is just egregious that the tarmac that I laid for myself to land as an old guy go coming here in the next few years is crumbling. And that's why I sit in these forums. We can use technology for our good and our benefit, much like a hammer in my toolbox, but I don't walk around the neighborhood with my hammer on my belt. Instead, I walk around the neighborhood with my .45 in my ass crack, unless I'm on my land, and it's in my holster, freely visible. Anyway, Phil, I'll give you a call here in a day or two, or maybe even later this afternoon. And Dan, thanks for inviting me in. I'll go to mute.
All right, buddy. Well, the main thing is, you know, what I'm concerned with is the fact that, you know, everybody with eyes to see can see the danger that we're in. I get calls every day, so we're not the only group that's upset with what we see going on. I get calls every day about people wanting to know, how do we come out of Babylon? I want out of this. I'm sick of it. Where can we go? What can we do? And then I'm open to suggestions. I really am, because I'm part of that group. I want out of it too. I'm ready to go back to living as we did when I was a boy, with almost zero technology. I told a fellow the other day that the lady that used to babysit me and my brother and sister when we were little, her house did not have a bathroom. We used an outhouse. She did not have plumbing. We used a pitcher pump that went down into a well at the kitchen sink, and it had to be primed with water, and you had to pump until the water came up just to get a glass of water or to do dishes. She had no central heat. She had a potbelly stove in the living room that was coal fed. Okay, I grew up with that. It wasn't harmful. There was more love and care in that home for us as children by that lady. She was a Sunday school teacher as well, and a friend of our family. There was more love in that home for us children and looking after us, even though we went out to the bathroom and had a single pot-bellied stove. We never felt abused, never felt like we were poor, ever. And yet today, they'll tell you that I saw it happen in Maumee, Ohio. Back in the 90s, a family lost the electricity because they couldn't pay the bill, so the husband went out and bought kerosene heaters and extra blankets for the children to keep them warm. They went in and took the guy's children and said they were unfit parents.
Yeah.
Okay, they never said
wow.
That the children were hurt. The children weren't hurt. They were being fed. They were warm. The kerosene heaters worked. I used to use kerosene heaters. I know they work. But just because they didn't have actual connection to the power company, they were unfit parents.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm telling
Dan,
you.
When I was growing up, Dan, I was born in the 60s, and we had a center. It was fuel oil. It was a big 50-gallon drum out back, up on risers, and it was a fuel oil heater in the center of the house. And then in my brother and I's room, there was the electric heater, and frankly, the frequency of the motor would put me to sleep, you know. But it, yeah, we had bathrooms and this, that, and the other. And I was going to be funny and say, was there a Sears Roebuck catalog hanging on the TP roll? But yeah, I mean, it. And back to really go back to the beginning of your show with these gentlemen. My brother and I, we had the empty lot at the end of the road, just like Phil was saying, and we go play imaginary cowboys and Indians, and we had forts built, and it was the imagination. We were free-range kids.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I know I kind of went backwards in my notes here, but how in the world is a man that puts in kerosene heaters to keep his family warm? Here we go. I'm like a cow. I'm regurgitating the crud here, or the cud. We have got to come up with some solid remedies to this. And unfortunately, as one gentleman said, the Constitution is merely a piece of paper. I operate on God's law. Dan, you made a good recital on the Constitution. It was never life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It was life, liberty, and property, period.
Mm-hmm.
And I own my own property. I went on a binge in 2007 to become debt-free and break away from the bank, hence my channel name, Bank Versus You. Okay, and I work in real estate law. That's my primary, and I'm the CIO and run the compliance and blah 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 blah. But at the end of the exercise, gentlemen, we have got to do something as soon as yesterday. And I go with the other gentleman that said, yeah, pass out flyers, and I tried all that. I've gone to city council meetings. I've gotten thrown out of county council meetings. I've supported others who, with video. Guys up in Ocala, Dan, you and I know a common person up there in Ocala that's done a lot. And they've all gotten beat down. They've been threatened with – I've been threatened. Tone it down. They've told me to tone it down.
Mm-hmm.
Well – I'm not going to tone it down, but we're playing a very, very, very dangerous game of chess here. But as one gentleman said early on in your show, we will win this, but we have to be very, very smart, like the fox, and we have got to do more than just two shows a week or two of these conference calls a week, or we are going to lose this.
Yeah. Michael, I think you had something.
So the Civil War is going to happen because a lot of what, let's just call it what it is, this facade. Dan, I think of when you described your very basic but loving and fulfilling lifestyle. That's more what we used to call addition by subtraction. How much better would our lives be if we were not bombarded by a lot of these electromagnetic frequencies all day and all night, 24/7, 365? And I know this is going to sound like one of those things, well, Grandpa said he walked up, you know, hill in the snow both ways with no shoes on, you know, to school every day. No, this is not hating technology. This is hating technology and fluff and you know, fillers that destroy life and make it less than what it could be. Again, when I was out last night, what did we see? Dan, what you call now these shiny black screens of death. There's beautiful people, our people, sitting around this big dining table, and everybody's got their face in these phones. And I'm like, folks, why don't we, when we meet from now on, all agree we're going to keep these in our cars or whatever? I mean, how did we get people's phone numbers before? How did we share pictures in the past? How did we do all the things that these phones supposedly do now better than we did them in the past? How come the quality of our lives is so much poorer than it used to be? So number one, even though I work for a technology firm, I am disconnecting myself from a lot of this technology. Even though I get a lot of it for free because I work for a company that supplies it, I'm done. I'm done with it. And then two, Jimmy made a point or responded to a point I made about the flyers. I'm not talking about something general, you know, about the condition that our world is in. I'm talking about humiliating and embarrassing people who do the things, these hypocrite Jews, when they do these things. Gentlemen, I know we've seen this, and this is, I'm getting off on a little sidetrack here. When Israel is surrounded by a wall and they have actual highways that are segregated by Palestinian and Jew by walls with security. The highways are even segregated. So you're going to tell me then Jews in Congress who have Israeli citizenship and claim to represent me and my people, your first loyalty is to Israel, and you've got the most
segregated.
I held my breath. The most segregated society that the world has ever seen. But all we want to do is have a border to protect our own people. And we're not allowed to do it. We're not allowed to have our own schools. We're not allowed to have our own TV channels, but every other race is allowed to. This is the kind of stuff that we need to continuously embarrass these people about their utter hypocrisy. And then when the average person sees this, they'll just say, we've been played as fools. And I'm just, I resist, I'm not going to say give you examples of how, but I resist these people in every single way that I can. And, you know, on a personal level, if everybody did this, if everybody stopped borrowing money from them, if everybody shut off their TV channels, their sports, their, you know, I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch CNN. I don't watch any of their news. I know what they do. I don't need to see more examples of it. Just disconnect from their system, don't fund them, and they'll go away. They'll go away. And is it going to come to the point where, you know, a famous writer, one of our people who passed away a few years ago, said, will it get to the point where armed people run into and take care of the high priests in today's society, known as the media, the anchormen, their editors, the owners of these mass media outfits? Maybe. Maybe. But for right now, don't patronize them. Don't feed the beast. Don't help them. Live as basic a life as possible and help your own. Help your own.
Yeah, amen.
Amen, Mike. Well stated.
I can attest to the fact that when I shut the cable off years ago and went without any cable, don't even have an antenna. The only thing a TV is used for is to monitor a DVD occasionally. So that was liberating. I felt better than I'd felt in years. I didn't miss it at all. I felt just the opposite. I felt freedom. I felt unattached. I didn't feel like I had an umbilical cord tied to the beast. The same thing when I threw the damn cell phone into the microwave. It felt good. It felt good. It's like they try to convince us that we must have these things. We must have every convenience, every electronic toy, when the reality is just the opposite. Same thing the scripture says, you know, that the ways of our Heavenly Father and the ways that He condones and He blesses are the direct opposite of what the world is trying to tell us. It's really that simple. So if the world's telling you smart meters on your house are a good thing, you can count on it that they're not. When they tell you that 5G is a necessary thing, you must have it. Well, the truth of the matter is that no, you don't want it. Okay? Big central government, bad. Big central banks, bad. Big central pharma, bad. Big Central, anything is bad. Breaking it up at the local level and keeping government at the local level and control at the local level is the answer that the Father gave. Again, why? A biblical monarchy with an armed population of citizen soldiers ready to hit the streets to defend that nation state or ethno state. That's the key to success. Just that simple. Pick a monarch and sub commanders that you trust that represent your values and your people, and be willing to carry a rifle to support it. There you go. There's your answer. It's the only thing that has ever worked all through history.
I'd like to paraphrase what the what is found in the SS Family Guide, the National Socialist Family Guide, who reminds their men that that it is most important that you understand your belief systems begin and end in the home, because mm-hmm. that is where the race comes from. That determines whether or not you're going to have a nation and a future, and a civilization. It does not begin at the government. It determines whether or not you're going to have a future.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to remember that.
Amen. And again, if people are interested in the truth, see, that's the big sin of our people today. White people no longer care about the truth. If they did care about the truth, I bought a book on the history of the German SS, and it's a big, beautiful, glossy photograph book that covers it. Of course, they put propaganda in it, but the pictures of the SS men and their history and all is a wonderful thing. Plus, I ordered a copy of the German, NDSAP's platform from the 1920s. It's a replica of the pamphlet that they handed out to the German people explaining the party platform. It's biblical! Everything in it is biblical, but of course,
and everything the damn Jew tries to, everything the damn Jew tries to do in these documentaries is make it look like Hitler and the SS and the Third Reich was some occult group.
Mm-hmm.
No,
their official religion was positive Christianity. They even had a Christian flag with a cross on it and a D for Deutschland and a C for Christians at the bottom of it, paying homage to God. That was their official religion.
Hey, Phil, you know German. What was on their belt buckles?
Gott mit uns, God with us.
Exactly.
God with us, right?
Mm-hmm. And how do you say yes in German? How do you say yes in German? Ja.
Jawohl. Yahweh willing. If you take it back, Yahweh is Yahweh willing. So the very expression of yes, or a strong expression in Yahweh, goes clear back to antiquity, and it honors our Father, Yahweh willing, Yahweh. And on their blades of their knives, what did they have? Blut und Ehre, blood and honor. Okay?
Amen.
That's why the Jews
Amen.
Hate them. Blood is your race, your family, and honor means that you conduct yourself. The SS, after World War II was over, the armies on both sides, the Allies and the Axis, every general agreed that the most civilized and honorable soldier on the field of battle in World War II was the German SS. Okay? Everybody agreed.
The finest fighting creature that's ever lived on the planet.
Exactly. Because they were moral and they were courageous. In fact, the feats of honor and valor committed by SS soldiers and officers is legendary. And that's why also many people who were non-Germans volunteered to fight in the German SS. They didn't do that because they were monsters. That's stupid. They did it because they knew they were men of honor, and they actually did hate communism, unlike the Allies, who were actually backdoor buddies with the communists and fighting the Germans and Italians. Okay? We are such hypocrites. And one guy in his YouTube this morning that I watched, he was dead on. He said in that interview, and he's a military guy, he said, America has a lot of innocent blood on its hands. And if you think the God of heaven and earth is not going to punish this nation for the unavenged blood on our hands, you are dumber than a box of rocks. And I'm paraphrasing. He said, we are despicable in what we've allowed our government to do behind our backs. That doesn't mean get away. We don't have responsibility. Yeah, you do. You pay taxes. You go to elections. You don't stand up and resist. Therefore, you are by silence. Your silence is making you complicit with the murder.
Guilty by association, yes.
Well, that's right. It's also guilty by omission. The omission of your anger, the omission of your resistance, active resistance against this tyranny and this demonic takeover of this country. Your lack of resistance is a silent vote of yes.
Yes. If you witness a crime and don't do anything about it, you are as guilty as the one who committed the crime.
Comes right out of the Bible. That comes right out of the Bible. If you're a watchman and you don't sound the alarm when the enemy cometh, the blood of those people that die from it are on your hands. Dereliction of duty. Exactly right. Everybody's in agreement. We're in a great big mess. The thing we're desperately looking for is a sign from the heavens of what we men are supposed to do next. Because no solution is going to come out of the District of Criminals, the swamp. I'm sorry, it's not. The solutions to this problem are going to come from the biblical men. That's why the Jews hate Christians. They hate white men, because that's the true Israelite people, and they know that. All the solutions that will fix the world's problems are going to come from our guys, and we need to start thinking about that. It's not going to come from Washington, D.C. It's not going to come from the Pentagon. They have been corrupted for a long, long time. It's going to come from our men when we decide that we're no longer servants to the devil, no longer servants to these beast governments that are actually formed for our detriment instead of our benefit. We don't owe an apology to any damn person. We don't need any approval from a bureaucrat of any stripe. And so we men need to start praying every day for guidance from above, from the commander-in-chief, and figure out what we men can do to fix this problem, because it's on our shoulders, guys. I'm telling you right now, this is not going to get fixed until we fix it.
Should we set some goals? Because, look, February, being a short month, is one-third past. And as we all agree, I think 2019 is going to be, you know, a big deal. But going through 2020 with the elections and all this other stuff, if I could recommend, and I did this on my radio show last Thursday, maybe what we do is have, and I don't mean to hide anything from anybody, but maybe we have a fellowship on a private phone call and discuss, instead of the awakening, which I think is very valuable to your listeners, Dan, and to mine. I get new listeners, and congratulations on the 200. We had at one point in time, we had 10,000 on my show when you and I first met after my interview with Cody Snowgrass. But what I would like to recommend to the board of men here is that we have a discussion, not so much on what's wrong, but what we can really do. And, Mike, I don't mean to be insulting on, but I've tried petitions. I've tried personal interventions at city and county council meetings. I sent love letters to the Oregon State's prosecutors on behalf of the Bundys and Lavoie Finicum. Every effort has either gone on deaf ears or it's had the FBI show up on my studio four different times. Okay? They went away, and it was amicable. And frankly, these guys agreed, but they couldn't agree. But they did agree. It was all in the front of my property, these four visits. But my proposal is, gentlemen, is we get together and come up with new ways to save ourselves, Dan, and what do you think about that?
Well, I'm open to anything. Yeah. Anything that has a chance of success. So, what'd you say, Phil?
Yeah, definitely. Anything to be proactive and to do something, you know, rather than just complain. So, because it becomes nauseating and stuff when we see what's going on and we're not actually. And we're not doing anything. And quite honestly,
well, the disgust, Phil, is the byproduct of. I don't know that we're complaining. Not to be disrespectful.
Oh, I understand.
I think that we've had enough. And and the thing is, we, as especially on Dan's show, his and my role, my tagline on my radio show is educating by sharing. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah.
After 10 years of doing radio, and Dan's got me beat by 10 more years, which is fine, but, you know, my toe hurts, and, you know, Big Pharma is throwing all these drugs at me, which are not working, which causes other things. It's a perpetual road of illogical things, which does come back to complaining. We're not complaining. We're identifying the problem, and this board of men, I'll call them Dan, if I may, we have the talent and the cross-section of profession and geography to really sit down and form a plan, much like our framing fathers did. And I'll tell you what, man, I am not condoning violence, as Mike or Henry or some other gentleman on this call said. I'm condoning solutions.
Mm-hmm.
I have no family to protect. I lost the love of my life. It'll be 4 years already in July. I have a couple of bucks. I have education. I have attorneys that are seasoned attorneys. I know most people don't like attorneys, and they're as disgusted as this group is, but they're not cowards. It's just we have been chosen to stand up and come forward and do something about this, and they stand ready in the background to back us up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the people
okay.
need a standard. The scripture says, raise a standard for Jacob Israel, for my people. And that's all they're waiting for. There's thousands upon thousands, millions even. But they are not going to make the first move. What's that?
The greatest measurement of somebody's ability to lead is if they can lead themselves.
That's right.
This is going to be the greatest advertisement for this way of life. These John Hagee pastors, these 400-pound self-propelled stomachs who can't get out of their own way and can't get up on that demonic pulpit without sweating to death, what decent man would follow that little troll?
Right.
This way of life that we've been called to is the men have to first be men. I mean, gentlemen, I'm sorry. I mean, if I insult anybody, I apologize. But what kind of an advertisement are we for this lifestyle? How do we look? Are we, however you present yourself, is that something that's honorable, that if our great example were to touch his foot to the ground next to you at that moment, that you'd be proud that you're a living example of an advertisement for his way of life? Dan is one of the greatest proponents of this, you know, the health aspect of the word. I mean, you know, we can complain about our women, but are we men? Do we...
Yep.
I mean, are we in shape? You know, and I hate to say it, but, you know, a lot of women look at us and say, I wouldn't follow that man. What kind of shape is he in? I'm not talking about being, you know, worshiping yourself and trying to look like, you know, a statue. I'm talking about, are you a strong person physically, emotionally, spiritually, or are you everything that a woman wouldn't want? So, gentlemen, I'm just, I have to say these things because I have looked at myself in the mirror at times and, you know, remembered things I've said or done and said, man, you know, I need to be better. I need to be better. We need to constantly be comparing ourselves to our great examples from that book and living it. And when we do that, like it says, you know, if you build it, they will come. If you build yourself, that people will follow us and they'll say, damn, what are they doing? What are they doing that works so well? Why are they blessed so well? That's one of the things we have to do first.
I'll tell you, as a response to what you had said, I read an article in the Daily Stormer that they have a book club, and they made a flyer exposing the Jews and their connection to the pornography and industry and all the smut and everything in that. And it asked them to go read another book that connected the whole thing, and they put it in these free book flyer boxes and stuff throughout town, and the Jews went nuts because it had the classical Jew caricature and everything, and they interviewed Jews as, oh, this is so anti-Semitic, this is such hate, because they wanted to get rid of the. Get rid of all this horrible, you know, sin and stuff. This perversions, and you could tell how much of a despicable creature these were, who were standing up there saying it's all about, oh, I'm the victim, when they're victim, we're the victimizer. And when I read the article, I went down to the comment section, and they had this one comment. It was from a girl, and the picture of it was a very pretty little blonde girl. And she said, I was having a horrible day, but after reading that and seeing you real men, I really believe in men now, and I didn't before.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Amen. So
you know,
that made my day.
Yeah.
When I've read that.
The one thing that you notice when they do the pornography, or not the pornography, but the propaganda pieces like that, did anybody note that the Jew never said it was wrong? He just called it anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish. Oh, you're picking on us, but he never said it was wrong. It reminds me, for you sports fans, remember when Steve Carlton was elected to the Hall of Fame? He was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. This goes back to the 1990s. He was a famous pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, and I was working in that area at a power plant. And my sons were teenagers, and so they were big sports fans, and so that was the talk of the town, was Steve Carlton going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. Well, at a banquet, Steve Carlton made the statement that the world is run by 12 Zionist families. Okay? The next day, all of the major newspapers in Philadelphia was calling Steve Carlton anything but a white man. Okay, and the Jews, of course, were calling for his induction into the Hall of Fame to be retracted because he was unfit. So I cut the article out because email and all that stuff wasn't available at that time. So I cut the article out, and I made a zillion copies of it, but I took it to all my family members, and I said, did you guys see this? Wow, yeah, look, what's this all about? I go, but would you take note that throughout this entire article, not one of these ADL or Southern Poverty Law Center or pompous-ass Jews ever said that Steve Carlton was wrong? Not once in any article did they say he was wrong. He was lambasted and castrated for simply saying 12 Zionist families run the world. And nobody ever once accused him of lying. They just accused them of being anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic. So it's been going on for a long time, but we're getting wiser to the propaganda methods of the Jew. And once we get that down, you can see it so clearly. Every time they open their mouth, it's always by omission. Their lies are by omission. I even had one of the main channels recently mimicked us on this radio call when he talked about, hey, you know, there's a group of people responsible, and they have an organization that does war by deception. So he didn't come out and say Jew, but for anybody with their eyes open, they knew exactly who he was talking about. So this truth is permeating society, slowly but surely. And so we're, you know, we're having an effect, but we're going to be very close to a point of self-survival in the very near future, and we need to be thinking about that. We need to be thinking about forming ranks and finding leaders, okay? Because we don't have the playbook. We don't know how it's going to come out. But one thing we do know, our father told us many times, all the way back to Egypt with Moses, pick your damn leaders. Stop worrying about all the propaganda. Stop worrying about what the Jews are doing, the New World Order, and all the rest. You're my sons and daughters. You start figuring out who your damn leaders are. Because this is war. And you're not going to go into war and succeed if you don't have leaders that you already have selected and trust. That's the job that you do need to start doing right now. Men of Israel, men of war, the Gideon army that's already out there, I know they're out there. You need to be figuring out who your leaders are for when that day gets here, because you're not going to have time to figure it out once the shit hits the fan.
Hey, Dan, I think Yahweh has selected. It's time for those that have been selected to coagulate and take me up on my offer of either more calls, public calls, or more board member calls, if you will. I believe that, you know, I mean, Dan, I think you found me through the Cody Snowgrass interviews, and then I met with you and others in our groups, my good friend Jay, my good friend others that have met over lunch a couple times. Phil is one. I've talked with Mike on the phone. Yahweh has selected us and maybe others that I don't have a knowledge of. But again, we have got to come together because the train is coming down the track. We are all tied to the tracks. And if we don't find a way to help untie each other, for lack of a better example, it's over. It's over.
Well, that's, again, we need to be going to prayer every single day. He's the commander-in-chief, and I think we're going to be given a sign on what to do next very, very soon. I really do. But the main thing is to have it on our minds so that when Father opens the door, we'll know very clearly and quickly that that's exactly what he's doing. Some event, some happening, some signal, I don't know. I don't have the playbook. All I know is it's going to happen very soon. And the trumpet sound for the men of Israel, the true men of Israel, meaning the white race, the warriors, they're going to be called forth. So be prepared for that. But we're well into this call. I think I need to jump off here for now, and then we can schedule another call at any time. So I'll take final comments. I'll start with Henry. We haven't heard from you in a while.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's been quite a show. Well, I guess I will close with a quote from one of our great forefathers. This time I'm going to choose John Adams. I'm not sure of the context here. I think he was talking, responding back to Thomas Jefferson, but he says this, and I think we can apply it to ourselves and decisions that we all need to make about ourselves in the very near future. In any case, he said, I answered that the die was now cast. I had passed the Rubicon. Swim or sink, live or die, survive or perish with my country was an unalterable determination. I think all of Yahweh's men are facing that same crossing today, and we need to decide whether or not we're going to make that decision now or be obliterated by the enemy.
Amen. All right, Henry, thanks a lot for calling in today and being part of the show. Yahweh bless.
Okay, you got it.
Phil, final comments, buddy.
I would like to make a quote. This is read this from on the churches and the world view of National Socialism and the equality of the races. And this is what I would like to read to you. That no one may be indifferent to the racial principle, the racial question. It is the key to world history. History is often confusing because it is written by people who do not understand the racial question and the aspects relevant to it. Race is everything, and every race that does not keep its blood from being mixed will perish. Language and religion do not determine the race. Blood determines it. Okay? The Jew's parasitic nature led the Jews to hold his own race pure, okay, by mixing it with everything else, of course, and to strike other races at the core of their being, their racial nature. Only when a people's racial purity has been destroyed by the Jew, able to develop freely and without restraint. Unquote.
Yeah.
And I'd like to wish you all the very best and hail victory in Yahweh's name, is our Heavenly Father. And thank you so much for the listen show.
Yeah, absolutely, Phil. Take care and Yahweh bless you, buddy. Jimmy, final comments, buddy.
Dan, my final comment is thank you for all you do in providing this forum and bringing us men together. I've stated my case, and Yahweh bless, and I stand ready. Dan, anyone you trust, share my contact information with, because we have work to do, Brother Dan and Brother Mike, Brother Phil, and anyone else I've left off, Henry, of course. But yes, thank you for all you do, Dan, and Yahweh bless us all, and may we prevail here. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yahweh bless, buddy. Michael, final comments, buddy.
One of the gentlemen on this call was reading something and got choked up. And we've been taught in this world that, you know, men don't get upset, men don't cry, that we should suppress these emotions. No, these emotions are gifts from our Father. He made us in His image. Our great example stood there and looked down and wept and said over His people, our kinsman redeemer said, if you would just follow me, I would be like a mother hen and gather you under my wings, but you won't. So it's honorable. I want to praise that gentleman. Don't you dare be ashamed for getting upset over the plight of your people. This is an honorable trait. And if just imagine if we only had a million committed white men that had that amount of emotion and drive, where we would be, who were openly exhibiting it. So just wanted to say thank you to that gentleman.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for calling in, Michael, and Yahweh bless. Keep up the good work.
Yah bless. You too, sir.
I would like to add a little bit to that as well. Our Heavenly Father told us to show emotion. Men are emotional, but we're not driven by our emotions. Big difference. Does not mean that we're not, because we are. Many a father has cried a tear over something their children did or whatever. And we're told that when Phinehas decided he'd had enough and drove the spear down through the leader of Jacob Israel and his little harlot, who was not of our kind, the men of Israel and the people of Israel were crying and lamenting our position, just as Phil was. Okay? That's perfectly normal. In fact, that's exactly what Father is looking at. He's looking for those who truly lament the state of the world, because they are the men who will make the difference. Not these cucks and these soy boys and these lukewarm so-called pew sitters out here. They're not going to change the world. They're part of the problem. And certainly not these cucks and soy boys and girls calling themselves preachers and pastors. They don't really give a damn either. The real men and women of Jacob Israel do cry over the sad state of affairs of this country and our people. Ultimately, it's our people. And the sickening, demented way we behave and accept, again, states of this union and the District of Columbia have said it's okay to murder a child. Did you let that sink in? Okay? It is okay to murder a child. And no, it is not a blump of material. It is a living, breathing, viable child. And they said it's okay to sacrifice it. If that's not putting a child into the arms of Moloch, done by the Israelites of old before Yahweh crushed them, then you'd better wake up and smell the coffee, folks. Because our Father in heaven sure as hell's paying attention. You've made your decision on which side of the aisle you're going to be on. And as Moses found them celebrating with a molten calf when he came down off the mountain with the tablets, it didn't take very long for Yahweh to drive them into the pit. You've made your decision, you antichrists, you atheists that walk amongst us. Judgment is coming, and it's coming fast, and it's coming furious. The real fast and furious, not the fake stuff with Eric Holder, that POS from the previous administrations. It's coming with a vengeance, people, and I pity the fools that says there is no God or does not find it to be a very precarious position to be in the hands of a living God. Unbelievable, the state of affairs. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. You and you alone deserve it. We thank you for this opportunity and for the call. We thank you for the men of Jacob Israel that do hear your voice and do seek for answers and do weep for the state of our lands and our people. I call these men the white stallions, and if people look it up in the dictionary, they'll find out why. Because that's exactly what they are. The Gideon warriors of the modern age, and the day of their coming up and rising up, as Ezekiel told us in chapter 37, will not be much longer. In the meantime, Father, we ask for a hedge of protection around all of our men and women, and especially our innocent children, because they are victims to this criminal cabal. We pray for men of righteousness to stand up and say, no more. No more. Any government who condones murder is no legitimate government at all. They have no standing, whether it's state, county, or federal. No standing. They are illegitimate. They have no standing, no authority whatsoever. And I would pray that men would weep and rise up and seek you first. As the young man on the Hagman Report said, it starts and it ends with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. If we haven't figured that out, shame on us that this is all a test of who His true sons and daughters are. But again, thank you for the call. Thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that we'll have, shelter, food, safety, health. And we also ask for discernment to see through the lies and deception. We ask for good health. We ask that we would be taught how to teach our other brothers and sisters the truth when they seek the truth. And we ask again, protection always from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.